Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. A return to normalcy in Iraq. That was President Bush yesterday. Today, violence rages as Iraqi forces go after an insurgent army in the southern provinces.
Any government that presumes to represent, you know, the majority of people must confront criminal elements or people who think they can live outside the law. And that's what's taking place in Basra and in other parts of Iraq.
The Iraqi troops, supported by a lot of U.S. firepower from fighter jets and choppers and from the military, what it's calling advisors. It's called a deal. That appears to be the deal in today's dropping of all charges against one of the Marines accused in the killing of 24 Iraqis in Haditha in 2005. Retired Major General Mike Nardotti is an expert in military law.
It's undesirable, if it may be, to grant immunity to a person of any culpability. If you believe you're going to wind up with no one held accountable, then you have to make those choices.
Government says a sergeant and another Marine shot five men at the scene, the squad leader ordering his men to clear homes with grenades and gunfire. The Lance Corporal given immunity today will be testifying. Barack Obama backers Senator Patrick Leahy says it's time for Hillary Clinton to get out of the race.
This is nothing against Senator Clinton. Certainly she's qualified to be president. But I don't see her as being the nominee just because of the way the numbers are going.
Next primary is Pennsylvania. Endorsement there of Obama today from Senator Bob Casey. CBS News Director of Political Coverage, Steve Shigera.
This endorsement's a big deal for Obama. The Caseys are a very popular family in Pennsylvania. His father was a popular governor for a while. They're very moderate Democrats. This appeals to the middle-class voter, the working-class voters in Pennsylvania, which is a group that Obama has had trouble getting in some states like Ohio.
At an Indiana campaign stop today, candidate Clinton with a reminder.
Neither one of us will have the delegates needed to be nominated. I think that's a very important fact.
We're spending less. No surprise, given the high cost of everything. CBS's Ben Tracy.
There definitely is a self-perpetuating aspect to this. You know, as consumers slow down their spending, that makes things in the economy even more rocky, which could in turn then create a recession, this recession that people have been battling about whether we're actually in one or not. You know, to some degree, it doesn't matter. Consumers are saying, we're feeling it, so we're not spending money.
You got to go back 17 months to find a month in which spending grew at a slower rate than this February. There was a riot going on, although federal authorities choose not to call it that. One inmate dead, at least 22 convicts with injuries suffered at the Three Rivers Federal Correctional Institution, 70 miles southeast of San Antonio.
There were a total of 15 inmates that were taken to the outside hospitals for treatment, 7 inmates treated for minor injuries inside the institution, and there were no staff injuries. One person has died.
Spokeswoman Deborah Denham says the cause of the disruption is being investigated. The Dow drops 86 points today to end at 12216. This is CBS News.
Buying a used car can be a roller coaster ride. Are you getting the car you think you're getting, or are you just being taken for a ride? Listen closely. Honda certified used cars. They're well-maintained late model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. And now you can get low APR financing on all Odyssey, Pilot, and S2000 certified used Honda models. Honda certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Is Progressive.com an auto insurance utopia? Well, it can save you hundreds by being the one-stop place to compare Progressive's rates to those of other top companies. What's more, if you have any questions, we offer live phone support 24/7. And if you'd like to picture us with soap opera good looks, then go right ahead. What else would you expect in Utopia? Start saving today at Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. That's Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates available in most states and situations.
At the risk of being a little too inside baseball here, in Washington, the first pitch of the season this weekend, the president's throwing it, but who's catching it?
This is one steroids controversy the White House wants to avoid. A spokesman says the Washington Nationals chose their manager Manny Acta to catch President Bush's first pitch at the new D.C. stadium on Sunday. The Washington Post reports catcher Paul LaDuca thought he'd have the honor. LaDuca was named in the report on performance-enhancing drugs in baseball. The president has denounced steroid use, but the spokesman says the White House let the ball team decide the ceremonial lineup. The president's already warming up for his trip to the mound. Peter Mayer, CBS News, the White House.
A New York teacher says an anonymous tip to her MySpace page helped track down her son in South Korea. Tiffany Rubin says her ex-boyfriend disappeared with their 7-year-old son after a visit in August. The boyfriend had joint custody but was facing up to 6 months in jail for not paying child support. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Jackson, go tell Brinkman to speed things up on the job site.
That's a long way, boss, but I'm on my way. Message delivered, sir.
One more thing. Run back and tell him that
we really need Nextel Direct Connect. I think I pulled a hammy.
Connect at the touch of a button with Nextel Direct Connect from Sprint. Get the rugged new i335 by Motorola. Just $29.99 for your business account. Visit Sprint.com/Nextel or call 1-800-SPRINT-1. Sprint. Ends 4/19/08. Excludes taxes. Subject to 2-year agreement. Up to $36 activation. $200 early termination fees. Credit approval and deposit. Available corporate liable activations and eligible upgrades only. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
That bell means the stock floor is closed for the day. But at Forex.com, you can trade foreign currencies around the clock. At Forex.com, we give you the tools you need to expand your investment portfolio into the OTC foreign exchange market. Go to Forex.com to open your free practice account today and test your trading strategies risk-free. When you're ready, just click and trade 24 hours a day, 5 days a week. When the stock market's closed, Forex.com is open for business. Forex is an over-the-counter market and involves significant risk of loss.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. Beaming your way from San Francisco. Lots to talk about, lots of great people to talk with, including you. You can call in at any time at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. In a moment, Robert Perry will join us from ConsortiumNews.com. Several topics we'll be discussing. Later this hour, Barry Kendall, who I met last week in Washington at the Take Back America conference, is with the Commonweal Institute, and they have a whole project about how to persuade people unlike ourselves. And that comes from a progressive side of how to deal with conservatives and people whose minds are closed. I think you'll find that interesting. Next hour, John Gorenfeld, an author and a writer from Salon.com, will join us. He's got a powerful new book out called Bad Moon Rising, about Reverend Moon, the Washington Times, and a lot of other factors related to Moon. And I've been following the Moon cult since the early 1970s when I came to San Francisco. And Gorenfeld really covers it well, so I think we're going to have a lively conversation about that. We'll also clue you in on a great video that he produced that's available online. Brad Friedman will be with us to kick off our third and final hour, as usual, from bradblog.com. Lots to talk about, including the release on bail of former Alabama Governor Don Siegelman, who, in my view, is the victim of a political persecution and prosecution that may have been organized and controlled by Karl Rove. He appears to have had some involvement in it. So we'll talk about that and many other issues. And we're going to reserve some time in our final hour for Sacramento. And it's never easy in radio when changes are made, but there's a change coming in Sacramento, and it affects us. This will be our last broadcast today on KSAC 1240. Maybe we'll find another station there soon, but we'll discuss that with you toward the end of the program. And you can call in at 888-5-PETER-B. Robert Perry publishes at ConsortiumNews.com. His latest book is called Neck Deep, The Disastrous Presidency of George W. Bush. And Bob Perry, you've been busy. Lots of action at Consortium News.
Yeah, we've had a bunch of stories. I guess with the situation with Iraq getting more violent and combined with the anniversary, the fifth anniversary of the invasion, and the horrible, grim milestone of 4,000 American dead soldiers. So we've been writing a good deal about that and also the campaign.
Yeah. A couple of the stories I want to touch on that people can read at the site. Our friend Norman Solomon has a great piece about public radio and how it has shifted over the last few years to become much more of a Pentagon, a reliable Pentagon outlet. And you also have a report from March 27 about a new discovery of a dungeon in Fallujah. And I think that's something that has not appeared in the mainstream media and that people ought to get up to speed on. You can read about it at consortiumnews.com. I wanted to ask you, Bob, because I intentionally didn't watch the Frontline series on Iraq this week. Part of it was I was bogged down working on my income taxes. It's hard to pay attention to the television while I'm adding up those miserable numbers from last year. But the other part of it is I just didn't expect much. And you published a guest column from our friend Ray McGovern that I think did an excellent job of critiquing the Frontline two-part special. But as somebody who used to work for Frontline, how disappointed were you in their coverage?
Well, I thought it was disappointing. I felt it was essentially an insider view from the administration as to what happened. There wasn't much in the way of criticism of the administration for deciding to go off on a course that violated international law, that was unjustified based on the facts, that defied the Nuremberg traditions that the United States helped set up back after World War II, which declared that aggressive war was the supreme war crime because it unleashed all the others. And so there wasn't really much in the way of trying to put that in that context. It was mostly a show or a two-part show about the mistakes made. The feeling you got was that, well, it was kind of a well-meaning effort, but that there was some poor planning and that there was some rivalry inside the administration and some boneheaded decisions, and that kind of explains it. And they had a lot of interviews with people from inside the administration who were sometimes criticizing one another. And they also had a number of journalists who, some of whom were very much part of the effort to build support for the war going in 2002 and 2003. And they seemed to be almost offering their own self-rationalizations that that if it only had been done better, if there hadn't been all these screw-ups, there might not have been the disaster that we now face.
Mm-hmm. Michael Gordon, in particular, from the New York Times, teamed up with Judith Miller on some of those disproved stories.
Right.
And I interviewed him when he published his book about a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And at that point, he didn't find much to apologize about.
That's right. I think that's sort of the tone. The tone was this was an effort of these folks, and there wasn't really much criticism of them. It wasn't like the Frontline show pointed out that these people had played this other had been problems and had caused some of the problems. But it was mostly an effort to lay this out as a well-meaning but ultimately flawed effort to bring democracy to Iraq and to remove a very bad dictator. The idea that this was something that never should have been undertaken, that was illegal, that was in violation of the wishes of the United Nations Security Council, and that defied international law, that was sort of missed somehow. That was dropped from the program. So it was almost a revised reality that was sort of dropped in to replace the discredited original reality, which was even more favorable, of course, to what Bush was up to. This one was sort of, there were a lot of good people, they made some mistakes, and isn't that too bad?
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to stress that what I'm about to say is not directly related to Frontline, but to PBS. As I recall, it was last September or the year before, it's a little fuzzy now, they permitted Richard Perle to host a one-hour program about the neocon view of the war in Iraq. And again, that was not a Frontline production, but it did appear on PBS, and it's one of those things that we would link to Kenneth Tomlinson, who politicized the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and its subsidiary, or its funded group, the Public Broadcasting System. Compare the two. This was a cut above the Richard Pearl piece, I take it.
Well, of course. I mean, I think it was outrageous to allow Richard Pearl, who was a participant in these events, to do a documentary on the events he participated in. And that was actually a series that had been approved by Tomlinson and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting when he ran it, which the goal of which was to essentially rally the American people to the war on terror. It was supposed to be out before the 2006 elections. It was delayed. But to have worked at PBS, to have worked at Frontline, and to know the kinds of rules we had to face in terms of being not having conflicts of interest, having objectivity, and then to watch a program where one of the people in the middle of it is actually the narrator, the writer, the documentarian, it was quite extraordinary. It was almost like they had completely lost any bearings.
Well, come on, Bob. They wanted Dick Cheney to do it, but he was just too busy.
It was almost like that. I guess Pearl was at least out of the government at that point, so I guess that made some sense. But
yeah.
But to watch this one that aired this week was to sort of see how far public broadcasting has moved from its original goals. And the gutsier kinds of journalism they used to do back in the 80s and even when I was there in the early 90s.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. They did some great work in the 80s on Iran-Contra, on the savings and loan scams, and into the early 90s they were still doing hard-hitting reporting. And this really circles back to Norman Solomon's piece that you have up at Consortium
right.
News about the way that the federal funding for PBS and NPR has been used as a cudgel to require, I think, excessive balancing, where whenever a liberal appears, they've got to have two conservatives to keep the demons away. And also the hardest thing to put a finger on is what's missing. You know, when you look at the lineup on the PBS NewsHour, you know, you accept what they have presented. But if you do a critical analysis, you go back and say, okay, what didn't they tell us, and what stories did they consciously not cover? And when you, particularly PBS, I watch the NewsHour almost five nights a week, and it is the best, arguably best newscast available on television, but it is sorely lacking in balance, in progressive voices, in non-Washington, non-establishment voices. They don't work very hard to bring in the full range of opinion that's available in this country.
No, they've been browbeaten pretty thoroughly. There was a point in the 1980s, I deal with this in the book Lost History, where the Reagan administration targeted NPR. They felt that NPR was not presenting the Contra view in Nicaragua as much as they should or as favorably as they should. They didn't like that the Contras were being tied to atrocities and things of that sort. And so they basically went in and told NPR that they had a stopwatch on them, and if they didn't put more favorable Contra time in, they were going to accuse them of being biased. So it wasn't a case of just reporting the news, and if it happens to be bad for you, well, that's too bad. It was that NPR was expected to produce more pro-Contra journalism. Rather than just report what they saw happening. So,
yeah, we need more from Desquad Johnny Negroponte on there. All right, we got to run to a break. We'll continue in a moment with Robert Perry from ConsortiumNews.com. Log on to the website there, and you can help out. It's a nonprofit entity, and they can use your help to continue their independent reporting. They're a lot different from PBS and NPR. I'll just say that. ConsortiumNews.com. 888-5-PETER-B, that's our toll-free number. Let me know what's on your mind. 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show.
Do you love KRXA 540? Show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
March Madness has struck all-class transportation in Marina. Through March 29th, all-class transportation is offering ridiculously low rates to travel in the ultimate in comfort and style. Rent an all-class transportation 8-passenger limousine for the bargain basement price of $55 an hour. A 6-passenger luxury SUV goes for just $50 an hour. And you can enjoy the plush surroundings of a 4-passenger luxury sedan for the low, low price of $45 per hour. The minimum rental time, just 1 hour. Call All Class Transportation, TCP number 22978-A at 831-582-9338 or email John and John at allclasstrans@att.net. Times are yard to yard. Gratuity is not included, and vehicles will be rented subject to availability. Remember, for all your transportation needs, call Marina-based All Class Transportation at 582-9338. That's 582-9338.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Installing new transmitter, 50,000 cool ones. Operating the finest talk radio station west of the Gavilan Mountains. Priceless.
KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and next hour we're going to turn off the lights. Yeah, that's right. It's part of a worldwide effort called Earth Hour, and we're going to turn off the lights to save energy and draw attention to global warming. Continue now with Robert Perry from ConsortiumNews.com, and Carol's on the line from Eureka. Welcome, Carol. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello?
Hi.
I'd like to comment. What I thought was interesting was the show wasn't as bad as I expected, but it started out with 9/11 happened, and then all this stuff continues. They never touched on the fact that 9/11 was probably an inside job. They totally accept the fact it was done by Iraqis with, Saudis with box cutters.
Mm-hmm.
They never begin to mention the doubt that so many of us have about how 9/11 really happened. And that hasn't been touched on any of the PBS stations, even Bill Moyers. And I just attended I guess you call it a meeting, mm-hmm. with Richard Gage of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth.
Right. Uh-huh.
Did a great presentation. Buildings do not explode. I mean, it's just a no-brainer. So I'm hoping that sooner or later somebody will address what they think the real cause for this war was, which didn't happen that way.
All right, Carol, I appreciate that. And, Bob, did they, in your view, improperly link 9/11 to the invasion of Iraq in the Frontline two-part special?
Well, I'm not sure I don't think they improperly connected it. I think it was shown, obviously, as part of the reason for the progression toward the war, but it's clear, and I think the show made it clear that the intelligence relating to tying Saddam Hussein to not just 9/11 but also to Al Qaeda was very flawed. The problem I had with the show was that it sort of presented everything as if the government had made a series of mistakes rather than that the government had pursued a course of action that involved essentially an imperial thrust of the United States into the Middle East in an effort to and what has caused a tremendous catastrophe for the people of Iraq.
Mm-hmm. I want to turn to another piece that you wrote this week about Hillary Clinton's campaign and the so-called kitchen sink that they've thrown at Barack Obama. I credit Keith Olbermann. I think he's the one who coined this phrase about this is the Tanya Harding approach, that the only way to win is to injure the other skater. And you point out something that I've said on many occasions, which is that Hillary Clinton's negatives starting out in this campaign were very high. They've gotten even higher. But her only hope is to drive up the negatives of Senator Obama.
Well, that has been the approach the Clinton campaign seems to have followed, and it doesn't seem to be working. They have succeeded in driving up Obama's negative some, but they've had this other unintended consequence of driving up Hillary Clinton's negatives even more. So it's put her in a bit of a difficult political bind that she if you're a superdelegate looking at these numbers, which came out in the NBC Wall Street Journal poll, you'd have to be somewhat concerned about overriding the judgments of the elected delegates and then handing the nomination to someone whose negatives have gone into such a negative territory. This poll found that even among women she was viewed negatively. So it's a case where her options seem to be narrowing.
Well, and not only among women, it's more negative than positive. It's now 44% negative and only 42% with a positive view. And just 2 weeks ago, her positive rating was 51.
Right. So the impression has been created, whether fairly or not, I suppose, that the Clinton campaign is somewhat behind the effort to damage Obama, and I think to some degree they are, and that this is ending up sort of boomeranging on the Clinton campaign.
Yeah. Bob, I want to jump in because less than a minute remaining, and next hour John Gorenfeld is going to be with us all about Reverend Moon in the Washington Times. And I know you've covered Moon in the Unification Church for many years. If you wanted to make one point about Reverend Moon and his influence, what would it be?
Well, I think the main concern I've had about Reverend Moon over the years is that I think the evidence is that his organization is essentially a money laundry. That vast sums of money are being brought into the United States from very suspicious sources. He has ties to organized crime in both Asia and Latin America. And this money has come in and then is used to influence American politics and media, and you know, from starting the Washington Times and using that to plant stories that have damaged politicians who have been in his way and to help his favorite politicians. So I would think that is the main concern, whether or not he's a conduit of illicit money that has affected our political process.
Very good. Robert Perry, read him at consortiumnews.com. Thanks, Bob. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Peter.
Very good.
Coming up next, we're going to talk about talking to them, the other side.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by CSX, How Tomorrow Moves. And by The Coop from Verizon Wireless. With a big keypad and an easy-to-read screen, it's a hassle-free phone that's easy to use. I'm Charles Osgood. With the 2008 baseball season about to begin, and baseball being the statistics-happy game it is, I'm going to take note on our Sunday morning broadcast this Sunday of the birthday of that song, Take Me Out to the Ball Game, which as of this year is 100 years old. It is said to be the third most frequently played song in America, next to the national anthem, Happy Birthday. We'll hear a few versions after this. Lately, there have been a lot of new proposals to help our environment, but there's something that may have been overlooked. CSX freight trains. Trains, you know, are the most fuel-efficient way to transport goods by land. They can move one ton of freight 423 miles on a single gallon of fuel, reducing harmful emissions and improving our air quality. Go to CSX.com to learn about their commitment to protecting the environment. CSX, how tomorrow moves. If you're finally retired, now you can do all the things that you've been waiting to do but never had the time. And being on the go, you're going to need a cell phone you can rely on. But you probably don't want to have some complicated phone with lots of tiny buttons. Verizon Wireless has just the phone for you. It's called The Coop. It's got a big keypad, easy-to-read screen, plus dedicated buttons for emergency contacts. And since it's backed by the Good Housekeeping seal and Verizon Wireless, you know it's reliable. The Coop from Verizon Wireless. Everything you need and nothing you don't. To learn more, call 1-800-2-JOIN-IN today or visit a Verizon Wireless store near you. Take Me Out to the Ballgame was written 100 years ago by a couple of Tin Pan Alley tunesmiths. Albert Van Tilser wrote the music. Jack Norworth wrote the words. He's best known for writing Shine On, Harvest Moon. Legend has it that Norworth thought of the idea for Take Me Out to the Ballgame on a subway train when he saw a sign for a game at the Polo Grounds. Anyway, say Robert Thompson and Andy Strasberg, two of the authors of a new book called Take Me Out to the Ballgame.
I think he figured that this is going to be a lot sexier to talk about how the song came about in the subway of New York as opposed to sitting in an office in Tin Pan Alley.
Well, you know how the song goes. Everybody does. See if you can figure out who some of these people are.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with a crowd.
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I never get back.
'Cause it's root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame.
One, two, three strikes, you're out. One famous ball player said, that's a pitcher's song. The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
And the show they named after me continues. And I remain your humble host, Peter B.,
Coming up next hour, two things will be going on here. One is we're going to turn off the lights. And in Seattle on Saturday night, they're going to turn off the lights almost everywhere. It's observance of Earth Hour, and we're drawing attention to consumption of electricity, its contribution to global warming, greenhouse gases, and all that sort of thing. So that's what we're going to be doing next hour. And while we're in the dark, we're going to talk about John Gorenfeld's new book, Bad Moon Rising, which sheds a lot of light on Reverend Sung Myung Moon and the Washington Times newspaper, his connections to people like Jerry Falwell and Tim LaHaye and the religious right, and the longstanding and cash-rich relationship between Moon and the Bush family, including former President Bush and the wayward son who raided the savings and loan, Neil Bush. We'll talk about all that next hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Joining me now is Barry Kendall. We met in Washington, D.C. last week at the Take Back America conference. He is executive director of the Commonweal Institute, and their website is commonwealinstitute.org. Barry, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I'm really glad to hear.
Now, I understand you are convening with the Democrats in San Jose this weekend.
I am. You have caught me on the road. I am down in San Jose at the California Democratic Party Convention. I should add, Commonweal Institute is a nonprofit, nonpartisan entity, but I do find a lot of sympathetic ears at this convention to the kinds of issues and principles that we stand for.
And what is the mission statement? What's your elevator pitch for Commonweal?
Sure. We are a progressive think tank and movement-building organization. So, in short, we try to be change agents for today's progressive movement.
And
that means in some ways that our mission and our work changes over time. When the progressive movement was just getting started and Commonweal Institute was just getting started in 2001, we were doing a lot of work to analyze how an effective political and social movement works. That means that we did a lot of work analyzing how the right wing had built a successful political and social movement that was able to move political discourse in this country to the right. It also means that we analyzed what we had on the progressive end of the spectrum and what was needed to turn those organizations and activists into a really successful social movement.
Mm-hmm.
As things have evolved and we've gotten more organizations coming up, we have developed more of an infrastructure for a progressive movement, and Commonweal Institute's focus has shifted to developing coordinated strategy for how to reach the general public and create demand for progressive values, progressive policies, and progressive candidates.
And, Barry, I want to talk to you about two things that you've been working on lately. One is the project about how to persuade people unlike ourselves, and the other is the need to develop progressive infrastructure. Now, on the persuasion side, ordinarily I'd steer this conversation into how do we talk to neocons? How do we talk to, Goldwater conservatives? But right now we have problems talking progressive to progressive because the battle lines have really been sharply drawn between the Obama camps and Obama camp and the Clinton camp. And I'm seeing a real polarization and an inability for us to really cross that gap and reach one another with common language. And positions are hardening with each new round or salvo exchanged. I notice that Democrats and progressives are listening less and, speaking angrily and talking in victimized tones more and more.
I couldn't agree with you more. I've seen the same thing. And it strikes me as ironic since, to my eyes, the policy differences between the two are minimal, especially when compared to the massive policy differences that either candidate would have in a general election against John McCain.
Well, I agree with that. But, for example, people who listen to my program who know that I support Barack Obama, whenever I offer criticism of the Clinton campaign or explicit criticism of policies advanced by Senator Clinton, people accuse me of Hillary bashing. And when I ask them, okay, when does it cross the line? At what point does honest criticism and differences over policy or the way a campaign is being conducted, when does that cross the line into Hillary bashing? And I find, honestly, the Clinton supporters are unable to articulate. They tend to lump critical comments that are fair together with those which are not.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. One of the things that we focus on a lot in discussing effective political communication and persuasion among friends and acquaintances and colleagues, the kinds of folks who would be listening to your show and think of you in some ways as an acquaintance or as a friend, is that it's very important to begin the conversation by finding the common ground around the value, the progressive value or values from which issue positions and policy positions spring.
Okay, I believe, Barry, that that exists, that people who listen to this show know that I'm generally progressive and that I'm open to discussion. But, I have found people getting less rational and more emotional as this battle continues.
Right. I've seen the same thing. I don't actually have a ready answer for you on that one. I think that is a very unfortunate problem that we're facing at the moment as this debate goes on and on. The typical things that we advise when you're dealing with someone who more or less is on the same side of the equation as you but is not actively involved politically are to find the issues that person really cares about. But you're really talking about people who are already actively committed to one or the other candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, Peter, that's a tough one. My general advice to folks who are in this, who are engaged in this debate is that perhaps it's time, particularly for those of us who live in states where the decisions have already been, where the votes have already been cast and the decisions have been made. I don't know what you think about this, but perhaps it's really time for most of us to go ahead and move on and begin focusing our energies on contrasting the Democratic position against the Republican position.
Well,
you're going to get a lot more traction there,
right.
And that would be the kind of thing that would actually be building towards some kind of unity. But I don't know if that's exactly what you're driving at here.
Well, it's close.
You seem to want a solution to what I would call a fairly intractable problem.
Right. Yeah. It isn't simple. I recognize that. But you know, I agree that at some point we need to move on. But again, from my perspective as an Obama supporter, the Clinton campaign from second place is still trying to maneuver into capturing the nomination. And so every time I think that the issues of Florida and Michigan have been settled and are behind us, I hear the Clinton campaign talking about it again. As recently as Thursday, Senator Clinton was again saying that she insists that the Michigan and Florida delegations be seated and that she thinks a good old-fashioned credentials fight at the convention may be in order.
Well, I'm not sure that I see anything necessarily wrong with that. The idea of going to an open or a brokered convention, I'm not sure that that's outside the scope of what the Democratic Party has set up its structure to promote, and so I'm not sure that I necessarily see that there's a problem with that approach.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly would say that that's well within the rights of the Clinton campaign to say things like that. So that doesn't bother me.
Okay. Well, to me, the issue is that what would be required based on the current count and the projections for the forthcoming primaries is that Senator Clinton will have to draw a majority of superdelegates, or one of the things she's also talked about is that the committed delegates are not necessarily committed. And so this just, it throws a monkey wrench into any attempt to forge unity among the two camps in the Democratic Party right now.
Yeah, well, I'll agree with that, and I'll certainly agree with that second thing about saying that committed delegates are not necessarily committed. That's undermining the Democratic part of this process that the Democratic Party has put in play,
mm-hmm.
which I think it should be pointed out, ever since they set up the system for having superdelegates, that means fundamentally that it's not an entirely Democratic process. It is, or at least the democracy that the process that the party has put in place is not a completely participatory one, but counts on some kind of representative democracy almost a republic-style democracy for part of the decision-making process.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they're vulnerable on that point. I certainly think that arguing that the committed delegates are not committed, that doesn't wash with me.
All right. Let's talk to Carol, who's calling from Eureka. Welcome, Carol. You're on the, I think, what, do I have Carol or Ina? Ina. Ina?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. I had the wrong information. You're on the air, Ina. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I want to warn you. I have listened to your station. I am a lifetime Republican, and I'm so fed up with the corruption and this mindless war that I'm perfectly happy to vote for a man like Obama because he shows character and value. But I also have, at my age, a very solid experience with the Clintons. And I want to warn you, your calls are going to go up of people who are defending Hillary. I think, Bill Clinton said, he's got a list, and you may be now on the list. Remember, Richardson was assaulted verbally when he came out for Obama.
Right, he's Judas.
He's Judas now.
Mm-hmm.
He's a totally evil person, damned to hell, because that's what Judas is. And you people have to stand up straight and show your spine to not be intimidated by people who will increasingly call to support Hillary and accuse you of being partial and unfair and all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the Clintons are very dangerous.
All right, Ina. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that comment.
Okay, you're very welcome.
Good to hear from you today. Now, Barry, that's a very interesting set of contrasts. Here's a lifelong Republican, and she is ready to reject her party, and she is listening to progressive talk radio. Those are all interesting combinations. I wish we could clone Ina and develop a million or so of those, maybe more.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You know, what I thought was interesting about what she was saying there was that, you know, she was very open to listening to Senator Obama, but that she, and I think she said, and people her age, I'm not sure if I quite caught the comment right, have a long experience with the Clintons, and that for many people that's a turnoff, but for a lot of people, particularly people who are now supporting Hillary Clinton, that's a huge factor for them. The positive feelings that they have about the Clintons and the history of the accomplishments of the Bill Clinton administration in the 1990s. And one thing that I've learned is really important is that it's important to begin by validating the other person's position in some way. By validating, in this instance, I think, the value of the service that Hillary Clinton has given this country, both as First Lady and as a senator, say, you know, I think she's been a good leader, a strong leader. I think she has done things for the state of New York that have been important. I think she tried to do things for the country that were important, and she showed real leadership and real courage. I think that, and it's not just patronizing or placating, it's actually sincere. At least it is for me. I respect and admire the service that she's offered. And then if you begin with that statement in mind, you have softened what is going to be perceived on the other side as where you then turn, which is, however, I do not agree with her on X or Y issue. You know, somebody who writes about this really compellingly is Drew Weston, who is the author of The Political Brain,
yeah,
who says, in terms of dealing with conservatives, he says, one of the first things you want to do when faced with a conservative attack, which I think in your case, the parallel here is a Hillary bashing attack.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing you want to do is defang the right. You want to say, you know what, I understand where you're coming from. It's very simple, it's very intuitive, but very often because arguments are so seductive,
mm-hmm,
because debating is such a seductive mode of discussion, and it's the only mode of discussion that we see modeled for us in 95% of the mainstream media.
Right. All right, we got to take a break. We'll return with Barry Kendall from Commonweal Institute. He's their executive director. Website Commonweal, W-E-A-L, commonwealinstitute.org. And we'll go to the phones. We got some callers. We'll take you next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
I love coffee. I love tea. That's why Coffeetopia is the place for me. Coffee and tea, the honey and me. At Coffeetopia.
Coffeetopia at 1723 Mission Street and 3701 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz offers the finest in handcrafted espresso drinks, whether it's a traditional Italian-style cappuccino or a sweet caramel macchiato. We offer a range of full-leaf teas, a choice of chais, including our new Zawadi African chai, and organic coffees. Coffeetopia also carries local baked goods fresh daily, including French-style pastries, or try a toasted bagel with one of our exclusive non-dairy bagel spreads, either garlic dill or smoked tofu. Coffeetopia, Santa Cruz's oldest internet cafe, offers both free wireless and computer terminals for those who need them. Coffeetopia. Remember, we're here to help.
At Coffeetopia.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you have the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The Retirement Specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the Retirement Specialist.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 8 minutes in front of the hour. I'm talking with Barry Kendall. He's executive director of the Commonweal Institute. Again, their website, commonwealinstitute.org. And we're talking how to persuade people who don't agree with us. And it's gotten more complicated in this political year. Jen joins us from Sacramento, listening on KSAC. Hi, Jen.
Hello. Well, I was going to explain to you why people feel that you're, not you as in you, Peter, but all of you as in bashing Hillary, is because when you have callers like the previous caller, and she'll say things like, I was on the other side, now I'm on this side, and then make a statement that the Clintons are dangerous without giving any supporting evidence, and then when you agree and say you want to clone her, it's almost as if you're all ganging up on Hillary, and as a consequence, that's when people feel that they have to come to her defense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's pretty commonsensical if you think about it, when parents attack their teenager about wanting to date a boy, and the girl wants the boyfriend, and they don't want the boyfriend, then all of a sudden she goes out with him and she stays with him because she's going against what her parents want.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, and it's just, I mean, that's just common sense. And I just want to caution everybody again, because I am a Hillary supporter, and I have seen things on the Obama side that I don't particularly care for, and I just believe that you can go on what you think the man is, but until we actually see him for what he's truly going to be, like anybody in office, you just go on what you hope, not on what you know. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah, and I've acknowledged that. There are parts of the Obama picture that are incomplete. And there are issues that I have that I've talked about regarding his post-partisanship that while I don't want to see him promoting hand-to-hand combat with Republicans, I do think you have to be realistic that they're not going to really adopt the post-partisanship that he is campaigning on. So, yes, I'm aware of the some of the projection, and I think I'm doing some of that. I understand.
You really are, but throughout the day, there's others that aren't, and so it's just a buildup. When people hear other people on the radio talking over and over and over about Hillary, once they make that phone call, it really is about, I'm standing up for her because nobody else is.
Yeah.
And then I want to say one more thing. Polls are indicative of only the people that they talk to. It does not represent the populace as a whole. And people need to understand that when they take a poll, they are seeking certain people out, and then they give you the numbers based on what they're trying to get, the information they're trying to get. It is not indicative of the populace, because California still is a Clinton support state. It's not an Obama state.
I think that's shifting, actually. But, yeah, I understand your point. Let's get a comment from Barry. Go ahead, Barry.
Well, I guess what I was going to say is the thing that you wanted to clone about Ina was the fact that here you had someone whose mind was opening, and who was starting to be willing to hear ideas from all sides, from all comers. You know, and I think if you are in either camp at this point, what you don't want to do in terms of if you're either in the Obama camp or the Hillary camp, what's not going to be helpful is debating policy differences, which, as I said before, I think are minimal. I also don't think it's really the name of the game. I don't think is debating campaign tactics. I think the name of the game is tackling head-on, both of them, this question of who's going to be more viable in the general election. And so far, I have not seen enough of the Obama camp saying, you know what, I am the more viable candidate in this election. And the reason is because of my ability to lead real change and to actually reach into the hearts and minds of people like Ina, who was on the phone call previously. He needs to articulate that case in what I think is a stronger way than I've heard him doing recently.
All right, that's an important point.
And I would agree with, I love the way Barry is talking, and the thing that I'm going to again say for Ina is she was open to Obama, but she was not open to the Clintons, and you would think it would be the opposite, because we have history with the positive of the Clintons when they were in office and how well we were doing. And so I'm a little concerned that people have forgotten how good it was in the hopes of how they think it's going to be.
All right, Jen, I got to cut it here, but I want to thank you for calling, and I'm going to miss you.
Okay, bye-bye.
You take care. Let's go to Red in Sacramento. Hi, Red, we got 1 minute. Go ahead.
Hi, Peter. I'll be quick. The way I would answer Enid's the caller would be to suggest that when she told me that what her concerns were with her own corrupt party and that she would go with Obama, I would say to her, that's a very progressive idea. And staying on theme with my yesterday's call, I would say if we start dividing things between old politics and new politics, what is old politics and what is new? And what does progressive have to say about those political processes?
All right, let me get a comment from Barry. Go ahead, Barry.
Oh, I think that's absolutely right, because ultimately, what's wonderful is that we're not just beating back Bush anymore. Now we are really saying, look, the entire conservative philosophy of governance is bankrupt.
Yeah, and we don't blame Hillary for it. We just say that's part of the old politics, and we don't buy into that.
Can you hear that, Barry?
Yeah, I heard that.
Hold on, Red. We're tight on time here. Go ahead, Barry.
I guess I have a little bit of concern about too much discussion of post-partisanship, because as we've seen, there are times when progressives, and therefore the Democrats, if they want to be representing a progressive position, there are times when we need to take a stance. And it's not always going to be possible to take a postpartisan approach to politics.
Barry, thank you very much. We'll talk again soon. I'm sorry, our time is up. Barry Kendall at CommonwealInstitute.org. With Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. The Battle for Basra.
This is a defining moment.
And she ought to withdraw, and she ought to be backing Senator Obama.
New pressure on Hillary Clinton. This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. So far, U.S. ground troops in Iraq are not involved, but they might be forced to join the fight against Shiite militiamen in Basra because it doesn't seem to be going very well. CBS News correspondent David Martin has the latest.
The U.S. military is sending advisors down to Basra to help the Iraqi army coordinate an operation American officers say was put together on the fly and has degenerated into a stalemate. These officers complain Iraqi Prime Minister Maliki acted impulsively in ordering an offensive his army was not prepared to conduct, and seemed to have caught President Bush by surprise.
A pleasant surprise, to judge by the president's public comments.
His decision to move into Basra shows even-handed justice, shows he's willing to go after those who believe they're outside the law. This is a test and a moment for the Iraqi government.
Maliki gave the militiamen until today to put down their weapons. They ignored the ultimatum, so he extended the deadline. The violence is not limited to Basra. CBS News chief foreign correspondent Lara Logan is in the Iraqi capital.
U.S. forces in Baghdad were drawn deeper into the crisis rapidly spreading from the south of Iraq today, battling militants in heavy clashes. Once again, the fortified Green Zone burned under a barrage of rockets and mortars, this time hitting the offices of the Iraqi vice president, killing two of his guards.
U.S. military officials connect the assault on the Green Zone to Iran.
The vast majority, if not all, of the mortars and rocket rounds that are striking the Green Zone were in fact provided by Iran, or at least manufactured in Iran.
CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland. If U.S. ground forces have to go south, they'd be stretched thin in other parts of the country, and that might call a halt to troop withdrawals from Iraq. Now this.
Buying a used car can be filled with pitfalls, but there's one sure way to avoid stumbling. Buy a Honda-certified used car. Only well-maintained late-model Hondas are eligible. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, and then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. And now you can get low APR financing on all Odyssey, Pilot, and S2000 certified used Honda models. Feeling a little more sure-footed, aren't we? Honda-certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Welcome to Chapman's Cheeses.
Yes, what do you recommend today?
Well, there's a special on forgotten expenses and disorganized sales figures, but I highly recommend the lingering invoicing. Very well aged.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why millions of businesses rely on QuickBooks software to easily deal with routine chores, like tracking sales, organizing expenses, and creating invoices, so you can get back to what you do best.
This is a cheese shop, isn't it?
Yeah.
QuickBooks. Get back to business. Start today at QuickBooks.com.
Wrap it up. That's the word from Democratic leaders, including party chairman Howard Dean, who say Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama have to stop sniping at each other so the winner won't be wounded going into the fall campaign. And Vermont Senator Patrick Leahy went further, saying Clinton should withdraw and support Obama.
This is not an attack on Senator Clinton, whom I like and whom I admire. I'm just trying to get to the point where in a year where I would hope that the Democratic candidate would win, that we take the steps necessary for the Democratic candidate to win.
We asked political analyst Stuart Rothenberg if Clinton might quit.
I think it's unlikely. This contest is too close, and for the Clintons, the chance of keeping this race going, I think, creates the possibility that Senator Obama will encounter problems.
There are some people who are saying, you know, we really ought to end this primary. We just ought to shut it down. And
she spoke at a rally in Mishawaka, Indiana, while Obama was in Philadelphia with Pennsylvania Senator Bob Casey.
I'm here today for one purpose, and it's to endorse Barack Obama to be the next president of the United States.
Casey's the son of a popular former governor. The Dow fell another 86 points today, closing out the week at 12,216. The market was dragged down by a report that consumer spending in February was at its lowest level in 17 months.
Real consumer spending has been fairly flat since November, and leading indicators for future activity are showing more of a slowing going forward.
Stephen Whiting is senior economist at Citigroup. President Bush, addressing the mortgage crisis today, said government's role is to help lenders and borrowers work together to avoid foreclosure. The sheriff in Philadelphia is taking direct action. John Green says he'll suspend foreclosure sales in April and seek a court order to extend the moratorium indefinitely. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Buying a used car can be a roller coaster ride. Are you getting the car you think you're getting, or are you just being taken for a ride? Listen closely. Honda certified used cars. They're well-maintained late model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. And now you can get low APR financing on all Odyssey, Pilot, and S2000 certified used Honda models. Honda certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Is Progressive.com an auto insurance utopia? Well, it can save you hundreds by being the one-stop place to compare Progressive's rates to those of other top companies. What's more, if you have any questions, we offer live phone support 24/7. And if you'd like to picture us with soap opera good looks, then go right ahead. What else would you expect in utopia? Start saving today at Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. That's Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy, comparison rates.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're turning the lights off. And you can do the same. It's Earth Hour.
I'm going back to Massachusetts.
Well, we know the lights are off in Seattle right now. The Peter B. Collins Show airs on Saturday evenings on Progressive Talk AM 1090 KPTK. And we are participating in the effort to turn off as many lights as possible. This is called Earth Hour. And wherever you are, however you're listening to our program, if you want to participate, it's simple. Just turn off all the unnecessary lights. Now, I don't want you to hurt yourself by turning off critical lights like your headlights. But if you're at home or if you're in a position to dial down the amount of electricity that you're using, you can help with this worldwide global event to help reduce our consumption, reduce the emission of carbon, and ultimately help us fight global warming. And so this entire hour, we're encouraging you to do that, and particularly our listeners in Seattle on AM 1090. Joining me here in the studio, and can you see okay, John? Yeah? All right, good. John Gorenfeld is with us. He has published a new book that I find fascinating. It's called Bad Moon Rising, How Reverend Moon Created the Washington Times, Seduced the Religious Right, and Built an American Kingdom. John Gorenfeld, a graduate of the J School at Berkeley, writes for Salon.com. And what else are on your credits we ought to mention?
Recently I've been writing for Radar Magazine about fugitive.com criminals, other sort of outlandish stories.
Mm-hmm.
But none of them as crazy as this one,
yeah.
which has to do with the Republican flagship newspaper, the Washington Times, and its owner, the 70s cult leader, Sun Myung-moon, who is alive and well, despite what a lot of people think.
And he's in his 80s, right?
He's pushing 90 years old.
Really?
But he hasn't slowed down in the least. He's been doing all sorts of things to build his prestige and build a legacy before he leaves the earth.
Well, he's the Messiah.
Yeah, he believes that, and his followers believe that he's the second coming, and that he's here to replace Christianity as we know it and to be accepted worldwide as this sort of supreme fascist leader.
He is amazing. And I first learned about him when I came to California 32 years ago. And, John, at that time we had Hare Krishnas at the airport. The Jim Jones cult had not blown up. And we had various religious cults, and really the Moonies seemed somewhat harmless. They were selling flowers on the street. They recruited wayward teenagers and often gave them a place to live and something to do. But as I drilled down deeper and learned more about it, it really took on frightening proportions. And just north of where we are here in the Bay Area is Boonville. Tell us a little bit about the Boonville establishment and what it did during the 1970s and early 80s.
Well, Boonville was a recruiting camp for the Moonies. The idea was that you would be led to this retreat north of San Francisco on the premise that you could come meet some really neat people. And by the end of your stay there, they would have convinced you to cut contact with your parents and join this strange group. And as you were lured further and further into it, you learned that Reverend Moon was the Messiah, that he was here to replace Jesus, and that he would assign you a spouse based on his whims as a show of domination at these massive weddings on the East Coast, like at Madison Square Garden in 1982, where he would proclaim himself the Messiah and the guy creating, through these weddings, a pure race. He believed that he was creating a master race that would conquer the United States by being bred without sin for the first time in human history. He said that he was curing sexual evil that had been left over from the Garden of Eden.
Mm, wow.
Heavy stuff.
It is, and there are many amazing aspects to it, including the way that men and women of religion have failed to really openly reject his ravings. And I have yet to hear a Christian or a Catholic say, excuse me, Reverend Moon is not the Messiah. It's just left out there. He makes the claim, and it is largely unchallenged, John.
Well, you're talking about the conservative newspaper publisher in Washington, D.C., so they just don't criticize him. Lawmakers don't criticize him. Leading Christian right operatives don't criticize him because he's become such a vital part of their operation. And so what I talk about and what you can see in my new documentary, King of America, which you can see on the web at www.thekingofamerica.com.
It's a great documentary, really powerful.
Well, thank you. There are these amazing scenes sort of at the crossroads of the conservative movement and all of these sort of upstanding sanctimonious politicians and Reverend Moon, who goes to Washington Times dinners and embarrasses everybody just when everything is running along and everything's fun. And Senator Orrin Hatch has shown up, and Bush is there, the first President Bush, mm-hmm. talking about how great it is that the Washington Times restores balance to coverage of Washington. Well, then Reverend Moon takes the stage and starts talking about the sexual organs and about why the Washington Times was established to save the world and to free humanity from free sex, he calls it.
That's the real evil in the world, free sex?
He calls it free sex, which doesn't mean sex without paying for it. He means sex beyond the sort of total control of Reverend Moon's regimen and his mass weddings, which purify us, he believes, mm-hmm. from sin.
Now, I have an audio clip here. This is the one, Horrible Dinner Party. Is this from one of those Washington Times celebrations?
Yeah, this is the Washington Times 15th anniversary party gone horribly wrong.
Normally, when I think of the Washington Beltway press corps, I think of, well, not going to say it, wouldn't be prudent.
Oh, my God. I mean, that's Dana Carvey.
Well, it's Bush having a little bit of fun with you and showing that he's hip, you know?
All right.
But when I think of the Washington Times, I think of a publication that has brought much-needed balance to the way Washington is covered these days.
Men's sexual organs for the sake of women. Women's sexual organs are shaped as concave and convex. Why are they shaped that way?
If I could,
Yeah, can you translate for us here? Do you speak Mooney?
Well, I have the printed text of the speech, which was also passed out to people in the audience there. But what he's actually saying is man's sexual organs, human sexual organs are concave and convex. And then he asks, why are they shaped that way? He says they could be pointed or they could be flat. And he goes on a little later in the speech. He says that free sex is centered on Satan, and you don't hear it in this clip, but he says that you journalists and literary figures of the Washington Times should lead the way to prevent free sex. So supposedly there's this editorial independence between the newsroom of the Washington Times and its owner, the Unification Church, the cult of Moon. But tell that to Moon. He's been going around for 25 years saying that the Washington Times is going to be his tool for spreading his prophecy and building up his power around the world.
And as a tool, is it concave or?
I think it's convex, personally.
And the free sex is centered on Satan.
Now, how do people, this guy gives talks like this that go on for 45 minutes.
Yeah, well, and actually I met some people at a recent event in San Francisco, a recent cult event. A follower, a very fervent believer and fan of Moon approached me, and he said, I could listen to him talk like that for 15 hours a day, and I have. And I said, oh, that's great. And, but these speeches, the idea is that you supposedly you have to read them, you know, 70 times. In fact, at that Washington Times event, he literally told the audience, he said, thank you, ladies and gentlemen of the Washington Times. I have a special gift for you. Just, you know, it's on me. You should read this one speech of mine. I believe it might have been his speech about the love organ, or it might have been his speech about the cosmos. I can't remember which one, but basically he says, for every year that you're alive, you should read it. So if you're 60 years old, you should read my speech 60 times, and you can turn your life around 180 degrees. And so what you don't hear in that radio clip is that this was all on C-SPAN, believe it or not. It cuts to the audience, and you can see these sort of conservatives from the Washington Times shifting uncomfortably in their seats, going, oh, my God, how much longer is this going to go on? And what is happening here?
And this is the publication that has produced David Brooks, who is allowed to express his opinions on public television and has a 2 or 3 time a week column on the op-ed page of the New York Times now. And Tony Blankley, who worked for Newt Gingrich, has become a talking head, and he had a column and was, what, editorial page editor there for a while?
Yeah, for a long time. John Podoretz got his start there, a sort of the mini neocon, son of Norman Podoretz. And these people present themselves on television as serious men who are, you know, being funded by this raving cult leader. And the Republicans and the conservatives have done such a wonderful job of keeping him out of the news, because he's such a liability to their party that he literally is this guy that stands for everything that they claim to be against. He says that he wants to replace Christianity, that Jesus was a failure, and these X-rated sermons, you just don't expect to hear them in the same circles as Jerry Falwell and all of these social conservatives.
Yeah. We're talking with John Gorenfeld. His new book is a powerful look at the world of Reverend Moon. It's called Bad Moon Rising, and it discusses the Washington Times and his coziness with the religious right and the crowning, the coronation of king, of him as a king by members of the Congress in a very bizarre situation. We'll talk about that as we continue. And if you have ever been a member of the Unification Church, or you know someone who was and left, I'd like you to call in this hour. I'd like to hear your comments on how the church is currently recruiting people and if it is functioning in the manner that Moon had expected. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. You can call me right now, 888-573-8372. The lights are off, but the phones are working here at the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Looking for ways to improve and beautify your landscape with sound environmental practices and enjoy seasonal produce from your own land? Well, Tree of Life Ecological Services offers landscaping and design to suit your specific garden needs, large or small. Contact Tree of Life Ecological Services at treeoflifees.com or call 831-566-EDEN. That's 566-3336.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Good afternoon. Happy Friday. Checking traffic on KRXA. Salinas Mara Road at Echo Valley Road reports of an injury crash with two cars. One overturned and landed on its side. Emergency crews are on the scene. For Rio Del Mar, Summer Avenue at Seascape Boulevard, we have a vehicle that collided with a building. No injuries there. CHP is taking care of that as well. For Aptos, southbound one before Soquel Drive, a two-car fender bender in the final clearing stages off to the right-hand shoulder. And in the Greenfield area, northbound 101 at Oak Avenue, a solo spin-out crash that's in the center divide. This report is brought to you by Mancini Sleep World. Take advantage of huge savings during Mancini Sleep World's triple bonus mattress sale. They'll beat anyone's advertised price by 10% or your mattress is free. Call 1-800-64-SLEEP or visit sleepworld.com. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with John Gorenfeld, his powerful new book about the world of Reverend Sung Myung Moon. You know, he believes in abstinence only, baby.
Oh, baby, looking at you tonight.
There's something I'd like to do tonight. And I believe in abstinence only, but I don't want to leave you lonely, so abstain with me, baby. Refrain with me, baby, all night long.
That's a spoof from my pal Roy Zimmerman at royzimmerman.com, and it's all about abstinence, which, of course, has been a key point of the Bush administration, and the guy in charge of worldwide abstinence got popped in the D.C. Madam case. You remember that?
No.
Yeah, yeah. A guy from the State Department was on the D.C. Madam's list, and he was, I can't remember his name right now, but he was the guy in charge of promoting abstinence worldwide. Now, Reverend Moon has had a kind of bizarre idea of controlling the sexuality of his followers with these arranged marriages. And, John, in the book you describe that he counsels men to injure their penises, to try to control their sex drive. It's so bizarre.
Welcome to the depraved heart of the abstinence-only movement. You have this cult leader, this billionaire cult leader who's obsessed, literally just obsessed with controlling how his followers have sex, making sure that they do it in front of his photograph. That's a
real turn on.
And I have footage online now of him traumatizing these junior high schoolers who've grown up in the church. They've been bred under the command of Reverend Moon's mass weddings, the famous mass weddings from the old days, and screaming at them about how they'll go to hell if they don't use their sexual organs correctly. And this guy has received over $2 million in abstinence only education funds in federal tax dollars.
Well, come on, he's a leader in the field.
He is a leader in the field, although he's been married twice, and the scuttlebutt when he was starting the Unification Church, according to other Koreans, was that it started as a sex cult in which you could be born again by sleeping with six women. It would turn you into perfect Adam, and it would help to restart the human race, which was a great way to recruit followers.
Yeah, yeah, it sounds almost attractive as the virgins promised if you are martyred for Islam. Now, you also depict in the book that he is very controlling about when his followers have sex, and what is it, the first period of time a woman has to be on top, and then ultimately she has to submit and let him be on top?
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, isn't that obvious? No, well, there's the three-day ceremony, they call it. And the three-day ceremony, the purpose of this, this is your honeymoon, basically. Your honeymoon takes place after about a month of imposed separation. You're supposed to go off on missionary work. But this is between the mass wedding and the sex.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, you come back for your honeymoon, and you're not quite ready yet because the sin of Satan is still befouling you.
Okay.
So first, you have to pick up a kendo stick. This is called the indemnity stick ceremony. And you have to hit your partner really, really, really hard.
In the hip. Right.
Sometimes people would miss, and people would go screaming onto the ground because it had connected with their spine instead. But anyway, the point is you hit someone three times. Now you've been cleansed. You can now perform this three-day rite in which, the first time the woman is on top, by the end the man is back. And this is supposed to regenerate the human race. It's supposed to erase the evil that Eve committed when, according to Moon, this is sort of his big revelation and his contribution to Christian theology, is that Eve had dirty, nasty sex with Satan.
Mm.
And it's time to get rid of that. And what Moon believes is that over the thousands of years that have passed since then, because I'm sure he's a young Earth creationist, although he hasn't really been very outspoken about that. During that time that Jesus came along to erase that evil, that mm-hmm. Jesus failed in his mission, because according to Reverend Moon, Jesus was supposed to start a family and gain political power, and of course he was crucified. And Reverend Moon does not have a lot of patience or sympathy for the meek and wretched of the earth, and he sees Jesus as a loser who has been breaking God's heart ever
and
since.
As the true father, does Moon ever require female followers to sleep with him?
I don't know about that. Okay. I actually can't answer that. But yeah. he does call himself the true father, and the implication of that is that your real life father is flawed, and that Moon will take over, and you can join the be engrafted, he calls it, into the true family, which will cure you of evil.
Well, we're going to take a break and return with John Gorenfeld. Pick up his new book. It's called Bad Moon Rising, and check out the video at thekingofamerica.com. It's really worth seeing. And again, if you were or are a member of the Unification Church, I'd like to hear from you at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. This program is produced by Katrina Rill.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
More victory. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Here's one of Lara Logan's recent reports from Iraq.
Just in the last few hours, reports coming in that the southern city of Nazariya has been seized by militiamen, a sign that this crisis is still escalating.
And as for the deadline set by Prime Minister Maliki for the militants to surrender...
This morning, Nouri al-Maliki gave gunmen a 10-day extension to hand in their weapons.
And you're tempted to think, where's the progress? What happened to the surge? If these Iranian-backed militias can attack at will in spite of the Iraqi army, if deadlines slip the day after they're announced, if the Green Zone is still getting mortar barrages 5+ into this thing, what are we doing? The answer, as the president made clear yesterday, is that we continue to be in the process of winning.
We've broken the grip of al-Qaeda on the capital. We've weakened the influence of Iranian-backed militias. We've dramatically improved security conditions in many devastated neighborhoods. And what some have deemed a re-liberation.
That's what we are seeing, a re-liberation of Iraq. I hadn't heard that term before, but it's about time we did, because it explains why this has gone on longer than World War II. It's because World War II was able to liberate Europe only once. So yes, you will hear reports that don't sound encouraging.
This is a major battle. It's about much more than just...
But when you hear reports like this, remember the concept of re-liberation. And think of this not as a setback, but as an opportunity to win... Again. Now this.
Cars are like clothes, and you can tell everything you need to know about a man by the way he dresses. So what does your car say about you? Now, a clean car says you know how to take care of your ride. So come into Advance Auto Parts. Buy a half gallon of Eagle One Nano Wash and Wax, and we'll throw in a 26-ounce Eagle One all-wheel and tire cleaner for free. Sale ends March 29th. That's it. Pants pressed, shoes shine. Whatever you're working on, Advance will help you keep the wheels turning. Advance Auto Parts. Keep the wheels turning.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Come fly with me. Let's fly. Let's fly away.
This is Barbara Mossberg, your host of the Poetry Slowdown. I'm inviting you to join me for a poetry reading I'm giving to support this show of my poems of 30 years called Fat Lady Flying, me, a quivering wreck getting on a plane, yet hoping futilely to get the part of Peter Pan or the Witch and Wizard of Oz, too plump to hoist into the harness. I release my inner witch and invite you to come fly with me April 11th, 12th, and 13th at the Cherry Center in Carmel, Friday and Saturday nights at 8, to Sunday matinee, right after our show here. I told my 5-year-old son and mom, if you promise to let me write this down, I will buy you an ice cream. Well, if you come, I'll buy you ice cream and a chapbook of this poem, which you will see enacted before your eyes with blue songs by Anne Marie Hunter. Go to Ticket Guys online or call the Cherry Center in Carmel, 624-7491. That's 624-7491. And I'll see you on stage, on the page, and right here, Sundays, making the morning last.
Fly with me, let's fly away.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Then dying coral reefs pushed us, hard. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com.
Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Thirty-three minutes after the hour, if Christ were walking on the earth today, would it be in the form of Reverend Sun Myung Moon, the man who claims to be the Messiah? We're talking with John Gorenfeld. His new book is called Bad Moon Rising.
God had a name. What would it be, and would you call it to his face if you were faced with him?
Joan Osborne with a powerful question. And John Gorenfeld, how in the hell does Reverend Moon explain his claim? Where is it writ in an Old or New Testament that Reverend Moon is the Messiah?
Well, it's not written in the Old Testament, but in the divine principle, which is his revelation, which explains in extremely complicated terms. You know, he had a background in mechanical engineering, and it kind of shows in it. It talks about all these horizontal and vertical relationships of the universe. It's a very, very long explanation. But he claims that Jesus does not match the description of the Messiah foretold in the Old Testament, and he actually laughs at the idea that he says, you Christians believe that God is coming on the clouds. Well, he says that God is already here in Washington, D.C., running the conservative newspaper, the Washington Times, and nobody objects to it.
Wow. Now, you describe him as a billionaire. What is the original source of his money in South Korea, and how did he parlay it over the years?
Well, by the time he was really making waves in the United States in the 70s, he had really amassed a small empire of factories back home, making ginseng soda, and then moving on to things like heavy equipment, munitions for the South Korean government. And so when people compare him with Jim Jones, they kind of miss the vast difference in resources, that Jim Jones was just this guy from the Midwest. Reverend Moon was already this successful Korean CEO who had come to America to announce that he was going to conquer it, basically, and recruiting all of these kids into a cult. But one of the major revelations, I think, from my research is discovering that one of the sickest things to learn about our government and our politicians is that even before Reverend Moon was in the headlines, he had really endeared himself to quite a lot of people here, including Senator Strom Thurmond, who helped him overcome his visa troubles and enter the country. All of these conservatives were working with him because he had this anti-communist platform, and in Japan he was loved for being able to, well, by the nationalist right of Japan, for being able to stage these vast anti-communist rallies where people would chant victory over communism. And the right in Asia saw this potential in the Moonies, not just a religion, but they saw it as a way to build an entire youth movement of fanatics devoted to smashing communism. And, of course, after the fall of the Berlin Wall and the USSR, the justification for Reverend Moon's work with American Republicans got even thinner.
Mm-hmm. Now, John, one of his top lieutenants for many years was Colonel Bo Hee Pak, P-A-K. And he was a retired colonel from the Korean Central Intelligence Agency. That is known. What were Moon's links to the KCIA, and in turn, was that how they met George H.W. Bush, who many people believe was a CIA agent before he became director of the Central Intelligence Agency?
I can't really speculate on how he became such soulmates with George H.W. Bush, with whom he has traveled in the 1990s to Argentina and Japan, where Bush defended Reverend Moon and helped him out of a jam where he was in trouble for bilking old ladies of their pensions. But there is this KCIA background. The country of South Korea at that time was under this dictatorship, Park Chung-hee, and there's this whole forgotten scandal. One of the first things to be called Gate after Watergate was the 1976 to 78 Korea Gate scandal. And it's right there in your local university library, but hardly anybody has heard of it. It's incredibly obscure. But the point was that this South Korean dictatorship was bribing members of Congress to support keeping troops in South Korea. They were afraid that the U.S. was going to pull out and leave them vulnerable to North Korea. Well, it emerged during all of this. You know, the focus went to Reverend Moon because Reverend Moon had all these connections to the South Korean embassy. And, in fact, his lieutenant, Colonel Bo-hee Pak, was working his – he was really networking hard for Moon's arrival in the U.S. in 1965. And since that time, he had been trying to find his master – the true father, friends that would help him in Washington. He had two jobs. He was still working for the KCIA. And anyway, in the resulting hearings, it came out that there had been all of this sort of mail fraud in which they had been raising money for the Moonies while pretending to be raising money to fight communism for years before Moon became a famous cult leader. And, and Bo-hee Pak testified in 1978 on Capitol Hill that Moon was being victimized by and persecuted by these Democratic congressmen who were just trying to find out what was going on, that all of this mysterious money was flowing around.
Mm-hmm. John Gorenfeld is with us. His new book is called Bad Moon Rising. Check out the video. It's on the web at the address thekingofamerica.com, thekingofamerica.com. Now, a listener who couldn't stay on the line, John, wanted to know about the weirdness around Reverend Moon, fluids, and blood. And maybe we should have touched on this when we were talking about sex a few minutes ago. But in your book, you describe how after these occasional sex acts that couples are permitted to have, that they are supposed to cleanse themselves with a special cloth and with some sort of fluid that comes in like one of these mayonnaise or ketchup mm-hmm. containers you get at a fast food joint.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of looks like the creamer packets at Denny's, only it's translucent, and at the bottom it says 1960, which is the year that Reverend Moon and Mrs. Moon, the true mother, were married in what is supposed to be the first perfect marriage. They have this huge obsession with fluids. During the three-day ceremony, you're supposed to dip the holy handkerchief into a bowl containing the holy wine, which they also really enjoy serving to people unawares. And this has created some controversy in the church. Are we really saving people if we're just tricking them into drinking this juice? Well, there were all these church documents claiming that there was Moon's actual blood in the wine.
What a nice finish.
Which really seemed like sort of a public health hazard. So when I checked it out, and I took some home from a Reverend Moon event in San Francisco by the airport in Burlingame last year, and I mailed it to a forensics lab in Van Nuys, and they didn't find a trace of blood in it. But I suppose it could be like the old Kiss comic book from the band Kiss, where the ink was supposed to be made using the band's blood, but it was literally just a drop in a large vat. So I don't know, but there is this sort of element, and there's also a church document from an early Moon theologian, Young-Wi Kim, who says that he was fed the blessing of Mrs. Moon's breast milk diluted with real cow's milk as this sort of holy privilege. And most astonishingly, I swear I am not making this up, there is a video of the leader of the United States Unification Church, Michael Jenkins. This is all on video. I'm going to be putting this video on my website to supplement the documentary. But he's literally claiming that on a recent visit to Texas A&M University to meet with George H.W. Bush, who has his presidential library there, they claim that the night before the visit, they received a phone call, and Jenkins checks the caller ID, I guess, and it says Reverend Moon, and he picks it up, and he says hello, and Reverend Moon says, "You need to give the holy wine to Bush, Jenkins." And Jenkins says, "Oh, okay, Father, whatever you ask." And this is all Jenkins relating this at a seminar a few months later. And he says, "Well, we went down there and we brought 2 cups of holy wine. And when the time came, this delegation of Moonies is talking to Bush. We said, 'Mr. Bush, Mr. President, we want you to drink this for your family, for a blessing for your family.'" And Bush said, "But I'm not getting a divorce. What's this for?" I'm screwing up the joke. They said, "This is for ending divorce in America." And he said, "Barbara and I aren't getting divorced." And he said, "Well, no, yours is a blessing. Yours is a blessed family, Mr. President." And Bush says, "So it's sort of like communion?" I guess. And he drinks it down. And I don't know if they're just making this up, but it is a really strange thing to be claiming, and it is awfully specific in details. And when I got in touch with the Bush Library and the Bush spokespeople, they said, "We're not going to honor that with a response." But look, there is a serious side to all of this. I mean, there is all of this absolute shenanigans going on, and I think there is this clownish side to it that really distracts people from the seriousness of the Washington Times being backed by this group. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if they're encouraged to act as wacky as possible to make it seem ludicrous that they have been funding the leading conservative newspaper since 1982 at a tune of $3 billion, which is a staggering subsidy for free market conservatives that have It has really gone a long way in launching so many of their messages into the mainstream.
And, John, we have an audio clip here of Michael Jenkins on Capitol Hill intentions, I think it reads.
Yeah,
you want to set this up?
This is Michael Jenkins, the guy I was talking about. He was getting very excited the week before the big coronation of Reverend Moon on Capitol Hill, which we should also talk about more. And he is talking about how the Moonies have become loved and respected all over the world, and every politician is going to believe that Reverend Moon is the Messiah soon.
We're absolutely loved and respected everywhere. So therefore, we want to launch now, after the coronation of our true parents. So I hope that gives you some background. For March 23rd, the Second Israel will come forward with incredible procession of religion. And by the way, everybody that's on the stage, every politician and every religious leader that brings forward the crown and the robe, they are going to believe that Father is the Second Coming, the Savior, and the Messiah. No one's going to be up there just out of ceremony.
Now that is amazing. And tell us about this scene where Orrin Hatch and Congressman Davis from Chicago.
Well, Hatch didn't make the coronation, but Hatch is one of Reverend Moon's best friends in Washington and has gone to a lot of other Reverend Moon events. Hatch has pushed the idea that Moon is a victim of religious persecution. And in 1984, when Moon was about to go into the slammer for tax evasion, Hatch held a hearing, a Senate hearing, asking whether he had been unfairly prosecuted. But at the event on Capitol Hill, this is March 23rd, 2004, and there was a mysterious ritual held at the Dirksen Senate Office Building. This is sort of an appendix to the Capitol Dome, where a number of senators have their offices, is often swarming with various lobbyists and special interests. But this one cold night, they held a very secretive Washington Times party for Moon, the publisher of the Times. And the theme of it was world peace. And they brought in all of these people, and as the evening went on, various congressmen came. Kurt Weldon, now voted out, a corrupt congressman from Pennsylvania.
Right.
The Representative Roscoe Bartlett, a six-term congressman from Maryland, was one of the participants. What happened was, while there were about a dozen congressmen or more who participated in this thing, they actually bowed. This is all on video. You can see this in the King of America documentary. They bowed down to Reverend Moon, carrying a holy costume to him and his wife, a robe kind of like George III's, and a shining, glittering crown. And he put this on, and he made this big speech from behind the podium about how Stalin and the dead U.S. presidents had endorsed him as the Messiah.
That's right. He's the only living man endorsed by George Washington.
We'll
pick up there as we continue. John Gorenfeld is my guest. His new book about Reverend Moon, Bad Moon Rising. It's out from Polypoint Press and available in your local independent bookstore. We'll take a break and return, and go to the phones too at 888-5-PETER-B. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. And I want to thank the wood chipper who pulled up outside my secret studio just in time for this interview. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Good afternoon. Happy Friday. Checking traffic on KRXA. Salinas Mara Road at Echo Valley Road reports of an injury crash with two cars. One overturned and landed on its side. Emergency crews are on the scene. For Rio Del Mar, Summer Avenue at Seascape Boulevard, we have a vehicle that collided with a building. No injuries there. CHP is taking care of that as well. For Aptos, southbound one before Soquel Drive, a two-car fender bender in the final clearing stages off to the right-hand shoulder. And in the Greenfield area, northbound 101 at Oak Avenue, a solo spin-out crash that's in the center divide. This report is brought to you by Mancini Sleep World. Take advantage of huge savings during Mancini Sleep World's triple bonus mattress sale. They'll beat anyone's advertised price by 10% or your mattress is free. Call 1-800-64-SLEEP or visit sleepworld.com. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
At Homescapes Carmel, it's important to us that we appeal to both the senses and the sensibilities of our customers. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I invite you to explore, touch, and discover all the unique items we have at Homescapes in downtown Carmel. For importers like us, nothing beats finding eclectic and worldly things in their native lands and then bringing them home to Carmel by the sea. Homescapes Carmel is on the corner of 7th and Dolores, and as soon as you walk through the doors, you'll share in the thrill of discovery. We have a wide range of furnishings and accessories that exemplify wabi-sabi, celebrating the beauty, functionality, and morality of living green. At Homescapes Carmel, we're dedicated to our customers, to our employees, and to our community. We look forward to working with you to make your home the perfect blend of comfort, beauty, and individuality. Please stop by Homescapes Carmel on 7th and Dolores. We are open 7 days a week from 10 to 6. You can call us at 831-624-6499 or check us out at homescapescarmel.com.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. We're talking with John Gorenfeld. His new book about Reverend Moon is called Bad Moon Rising, and it's got a foreword from my friend Barry Lynn. He's the executive director of Americans United for Separation of Church and State, and he's got a radio program called Flashpoints, which is on a little bit before me on one of our stations, KRXA 540 in Monterey. And, John, set us up for this one. I referenced just before the break that Reverend Moon claims to be endorsed by many dead presidents. And this is not a joke about whose picture is on what bill in our currency.
Reverend Moon literally claims and has put his money where his mouth is and taken out million-dollar ads, ad campaigns, and newspapers to the effect that the first 36 presidents of the United States, including his real-life friend Nixon, have spoken from beyond the grave and endorsed him as the Messiah.
Wow, let's listen to this.
I, George Washington, am deeply moved to learn the identity of Reverend Sun Myung Moon. The Messiah is giving unlimited love to the people of the United States. Yet the people of America are greatly lacking in sincerity and dedication in attending the Messiah. I realize that the American people are blessed by the mere fact that the Messiah is present on American soil. And yet they appear unable to realize this deeply. I am deeply distressed over this. George Washington, first president of the United States.
That's the best digital recording of George Washington I've ever heard.
He used to be sort of more of an analog guy.
Mary in Vacaville, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show with author John Gorenfeld.
Yes, thank you, Peter and John. John, thank you for this book. Very important.
Oh, thank you.
What's scariest is how little we hear. I have been following, like Peter, Sun Myung-moon since the 70s, but it was just this last year that I started to probe the internet, and it scared me what I'm reading about he and George W. Bush in South America, too, sitting on top of that reserve of water, which they seem to think will be like oil reserves in the future when water is scarce. I hope you could talk a little bit about
that. Is this the new Bush South Fork in Paraguay?
Yeah,
John?
Paraguay.
Yeah,
I heard.
Yeah, Reverend Moon himself owns 1.5 million acres of land, a place twice the size of Luxembourg, in that region near this aquifer, this huge source of fresh water. The Bush land claims I don't know about. They're likely to be true. There were these widespread reports in the Latin American press that the Bush family too was buying up land down there. And of course I don't know if there's necessarily anything sinister to that. I think that a lot of people are seeing it as a very good real estate investment. But what's not so good is Paraguayans in this area who woke up one day, as the Economist magazine reported, and found that Reverend Moon was their feudal lord of their villages. Moon has a massive presence in Latin America. In fact, I could write a whole other book about that.
And may I ask one more question?
Sure, Mary.
It just seems that in the press every day, we're having to hear more than we even want to know about every association of, for example, Barack Obama. Why we don't hear more about this fellow and all his and how he associates with so many of our leaders?
Good point, Mary. Very good point.
Yeah, I mean it's 10 times the stuff that Reverend Moon says about how the United States is the kingdom of Satan and that all of our women are prostitutes. I mean, this is outrageous. How much money has Jeremiah Wright or support has he really given to the Democrats or to liberals versus $3 billion to the GOP's newspaper from Sun Myung-moon?
And we haven't touched too much on the Washington Times, John, and I encourage people to read the book because you detail it very well. But just talk about the way that stories that are factually challenged appear in the Washington Times and then get picked up unquestioned by the rest of the right-wing noise machine.
Yeah, I chronicle how all of these stories from Dukakis being mentally ill in 88 to one of Reverend Moon's media organizations, Insight Magazine, printed this. It was the first to publish the claim that Obama had gone to an Islamic madrasa. Are the people of America ready for a president who went to a madrasa? Everything from fake Iraq war stories about how the weapons of mass destruction were mysteriously and magically moved to Syria. It goes on, and this is treated like a real news source when it's an obvious front for a cult that is being used as a propaganda service for the conservative movement. And it's just totally shameless. And my suggestion is, I think that without going into the details even, I think it's shocking to most people old enough to remember Sun Myung-moon just to know that he publishes the conservative newspaper. I think ask your neighbor, did you know that Reverend Moon owns the Washington Times? I don't think 99% of people know that. I don't know. One of the things I call for in my book is for Reverend Moon to be an icon, a pop culture icon like Rupert Murdoch or George Soros, the big shot Democratic financier. This guy plays such a large part in the media world, and he's
$3 billion.
And he wears
at the Washington Times.
And he wears, he dresses up in a crown. I mean, what does he have to do to get attention?
All right, let's go to Laura in Sacramento. Thanks for your call, Laura. You're on the air.
Hi, Mary kind of stole my thunder. I remember when Reverend Sun Myung-moon's Moonies first came to California in the 70s. Uh-huh. You can't help but automatically think about hundreds of thousands of bridal dresses and grooms that they've never met. And I always thought that was just a draw for, a large segment of disaffected youth. I mean, there were a number of cults that were similar to Moon's in the 70s. But, like Mary, I'm concerned, how come the so-called liberal media gives us 24/7 of Pastor Wright and yet nothing And even though there is, you know, video documentation of the conservative legislators.
Right. And Laura, take a look at this new video that John has produced at thekingofamerica.com, because it will show you exactly what you describe.
Well, can I ask, John?
Real quick.
Is it more that there's corporate ownership of media, or that journalists just aren't doing any investigative journalism anymore, or a combination thereof? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Sure. No, thank you. I think it's just a tremendous cynicism on the part of the Washington Press Corps. I think that they have lost their moral compass, and they can't tell the difference between an outrage and something that isn't an outrage. And that's why you hear about incredibly silly stuff, and you don't hear about the fact that a notorious cult leader is publishing the conservative newspaper. I mean,
John
Gorenfeld, it's ludicrous.
Thank you for joining us. The book is Bad Moon Rising. Pick it up from Polypoint Press. Go to the website, thekingofamerica.com. Seattle, you can turn your lights back on. Earth Hour is now over. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company, which offers more than 60 different wines made with certified organic grapes. Veronique, French wines are intimidating for some American consumers. Mm-hmm. How do you help break it down for us?
Don't be intimidated. What is there to be intimidated about? There's nothing too exotic about them. You either like them or you don't like them. You know, it's really simple. You either like Van Gogh or you don't. You either like the Beatles or you don't. You know, wines are really a form of a vibration in a bottle, just like poetry, just like music. And you know the style of music that you like. So maybe you're going to love French wines. And then go for it.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush says the battle for Basra is a defining moment in the history of free Iraq. But so far, Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki's troops have needed U.S. air support and U.S. military advisors. And CBS News correspondent David Martin reports they might need some reinforcements.
U.S. officials say American combat troops would be sent into Basra only as a last resort, but they expect more Iraqi troops will have to be committed to the battle. If they are, American troops would have to cover the areas they left unprotected. That would force General David Petraeus, the top commander in Iraq, to choose between covering more territory with fewer troops or suspending the withdrawals that are bringing combat units home at the rate of about 3,500 soldiers a month. No decisions have been made, but one U.S. official said many of the successes of the past 12 months are in danger of being canceled out. David Martin, CBS News, the Pentagon.
Retired Army Colonel Jeff McCausland, a CBS News military consultant, says the Iraqi forces might not be up to the challenge.
The situation in Basra is very murky. Unable to get a clear picture today when I talked to people in Baghdad, from the U.S. command at least, of what portion of the city was currently under government control.
The Prime Minister has extended his deadline for the Shiite militiamen to put down their weapons. The White House reacted today to North Korea's firing of short-range missiles, a spokesman saying this kind of activity is not constructive. Hillary Clinton is under increasing pressure to give up. Today, Vermont Senator Patrick Leahy said Clinton just doesn't have enough delegates to win the Democratic nomination. She should withdraw and support Barack Obama, to which Clinton replied,
"Neither one of us will have the delegates needed to be nominated." I think that's a very important fact.
She hopes to sway enough superdelegates to tip the balance, but money might be a problem. The Chicago Sun-Times reports donations have slowed down and the Clinton campaign is struggling with debts that have yet to be made public. The city of Philadelphia has stepped into the mortgage mess. Sheriff John Green, urged by the city council, says he'll suspend foreclosure sales next month. Cleveland and Baltimore are said to be considering similar actions. President Bush addressed the problem today. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
While opposed to the Democrats' program to let judges reduce mortgage payments for distressed homeowners, President Bush wants to be seen offering assistance.
We have a role to play at the government level, and that is to help lenders and borrowers work together to avoid foreclosure.
At a consumer credit counseling service in New Jersey, Mr. Bush said foreclosures adversely affect the entire economy, and he urged those in trouble to call the Hope Now Alliance. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
Today's report of very weak consumer spending last month drove the stock market lower. The Dow lost 86 points, finishing the week at 12,216. The Nasdaq down 19 points to 2261. The price of oil fell nearly $2 to $105 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Offer ends 4-12-08. This year, put your tax refund to good use. Turn your 1040 into Sony high-definition 1080p. Visit sony.com/1040 to find out how you can save up to $400 on a qualifying Sony Bravia HD TV. That's $400 in savings on a Sony Bravia HD TV. So handle your tax return the easy way. Choose TurboTax. Then visit sony.com/1040 to learn how you can use your tax refund and save $400 on a Sony Bravia HD TV.
At Mercedes-Benz, our affordable certified pre-owned vehicles come with the rich legacy of engineering that is Mercedes-Benz. And a 155-point inspection, roadside assistance, and a one-year warranty up to 100,000 miles. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz retains its integrity because, as a company, we have ours. Stop by your local authorized dealer and ask about the certified pre-owned program by Mercedes-Benz.
See dealer for complete details and warranty and roadside assistance. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles.
Just months before the Summer Olympics, China is the target of international outrage, but the U.S. Secretary of State says that should not affect the Games. CBS's Sam Litzinger reports.
Condoleezza Rice says the boycott of the 1980 Moscow Games was, to use her word, feckless, and she sees no reason for the U.S. to boycott the Beijing Games because of China's crackdown on protests in Tibet. In an interview with the Washington Times, the Secretary of State says a boycott would be an insult to the Chinese people and a betrayal of the athletes who will be taking part. The U.S. led a boycott of the 1980 Olympics in Moscow to protest the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. Rice says it wasn't very effective. Sam Litzinger, CBS News, Washington.
Literally and figuratively, William Bowen was trashed. The 27-year-old Muncie, Indiana man woke up yesterday morning inside a garbage truck. Bowen told police he didn't remember how he got into the truck or into the trash bin that the truck had just emptied, but he does remember drinking with his buddies several hours earlier. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Buying a used car can be filled with pitfalls, but there's one sure way to avoid stumbling. Buy a Honda-certified used car. Only well-maintained late-model Hondas are eligible. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, and then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. And now you can get low APR financing on all Odyssey, Pilot, and S2000-certified used Honda models. Feeling a little more sure-footed, aren't we? Honda-certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Welcome to Chapman's Cheeses.
Yes, what do you recommend today?
Well, there's a special on forgotten expenses and disorganized sales figures. But I highly recommend the lingering invoicing. Very well aged.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why millions of businesses rely on QuickBooks software to easily deal with routine chores, like tracking sales, organizing expenses, and creating invoices, so you can get back to what you do best.
This is a cheese shop, isn't it?
Yeah.
QuickBooks. Get back to business. Start today at QuickBooks.com.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from the dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, coming to you from San Francisco. Every week about this time, we check in with Brad Friedman at bradblog.com to cover the latest in election integrity issues. Brad is our go-to guy, the citizen journalist who publishes at bradblog.com, and he joins us right now from his world headquarters somewhere near Los Angeles. Hey, Brad, how you doing today?
I'm doing okay, Peter, although I was saddened to hear about the news of you in Sacramento, frankly.
Yeah, we're disappointed about that, and we are going to... cut the Bradness short today at about half past the hour to open up the phone lines to hear from people in Sacramento and to bid adieu for now. We never say goodbye because there are always ways for people to listen online.
And well, I hope they are.
We're hopeful that we'll find another station in the area to carry the Peter B. Collins Show in the future.
I hope so, because I know I hear from a lot of folks in Sacramento listening up there. And, boy, I'll tell you, I'm speaking tomorrow at a conference sponsored by Common Cause, of all people, by the way.
I saw that on the blog.
And it's about media reform and all of these sorts of problems, and it's a crying shame, frankly, that you know, you've got one progressive station in Sacramento, and it is going away. So, boy, I hope something can change and quickly in both Sacramento and this entire country, to be frank.
Well, indeed. And it's something, of course, I'm very committed to, and we're not going to stop. So we will find our way around this little impediment and continue to move forward. So, Brad, let's talk about what's going on at BradBlog and in the world of election protection. Up front and center, we have an interesting lawsuit now against Hart InterCivic. And this goes back a couple of years to when Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Published a lengthy article, I think it was in Rolling Stone, about the Ohio 2004 presidential race.
Indeed. It actually goes back prior to that. In fact, I had, and I haven't been able to talk about this case for about 2 years, but folks may remember when this KeyTam case was filed, and at the time Bobby Kennedy and Mike Papantonio made some noise about it, but it then went immediately under seal, as is the case with these sorts of fraud, federal fraud lawsuits. The DOJ was given, well, 60 days to determine whether they wanted to join the case. That 60 days became about 2 years as the DOJ kept asking for extension after extension. They have finally declined to join the case, and it therefore became unsealed yesterday, and I'm now finally able to talk about it. It actually came about from a whistleblower who we reported on a BradBlog some years ago, a fellow by the name of William Singer, who had worked for Hart InterCivic, who had tried to send letters of warning to the secretaries of state in Ohio and Texas prior to the 2004 election, warning them about the absolute disaster and the fraud that was going on in the sale of the Hart InterCivic voting systems to both Texas and Ohio. No one listened to them. We ran those letters. I eventually tipped off Bobby Kennedy to it. He was stunned and immediately got on the case, him and Mike Papantonio and his law firm down there in Florida, to turn this into a federal fraud case, to make a federal case out of it, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And that is finally now unsealed. The full case is available at BradBlog for folks who want to give it a look. And I'll tell you what, it is absolutely stunning. The claims that Will Singer is detailing in this complaint. You know, there were some that I was familiar with, of course, because of those letters, but there was a lot I wasn't familiar with, and certainly the level of detail that's in this thing is absolutely remarkable and should make anyone who is in any way aware of how these voting systems work, or in this case don't, just absolutely shudder in their boots.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, Hart InterCivic is one of the big four voting machine companies, and probably the one that you and I, Peter, have spoken about least of all. After, you know, Diebold, Sequoia, ES&S, Hart has really flown under the radar. And in fact, as long as we're still on the air in Sacramento, let me point out that Hart's touchscreen voting machines, they're actually DREs, they're not touchscreen, but you get the idea,
right,
are the only ones that Deborah Bowen did not decertify, and they are still used across several counties in California. I hope that changes real quickly after the folks up in Sacramento, Lowell Finley, Deborah Bowen, get a read on this complaint, because these machines should not be used. And in fact, I've spoken to some computer scientists about this. One of them recently told me that of all the machines out there, it is their understanding that the Hart InterCivic machines are the worst and most unsecure.
And if you were to tick off their vulnerabilities, what are they, particularly as compared to the Diebold machines that we've talked much more about?
Well, they don't work. That's for start.
Okay.
But
no computer comes with a warranty, Brad.
Well, apparently not. Well, that's the thing. These machines did. And that's the issue here, is we're talking about fraud and the fact that Hart InterCivic saw, you know, millions, billions of dollars of Help America Vote Act money that was available, and they were willing to say and do anything to get to sell their machines where they needed to. Mm-hmm. The complaint details the fact that the machines would lose votes. The fact that there was no there's very little alpha testing. That's the first level of testing for any computer software, but that there was no beta testing whatsoever. That in fact the company would fake their machines when they were giving sales presentations. They would not, show the actual machines with actual software. They would dummy up machines.
Well, that's how we have proven the Star Wars system works.
That's right, and that's what's going on here as well. And it's mm-hmm. only the heartbeat of our democracy. Other than that, everything is fine.
Yeah.
It's just remarkable. They dummy up reports, basically, showing these counties anything they needed to see in order to make the sale. And then you'd have machines that would do, as we saw back in 2006 in Tarrant County, Texas, on these heart machines, 100,000 phantom votes. You may recall, showed up mm-hmm. out of nowhere. That was on a Hart Intercivic machine. And these are the kind of problems that William Singer was trying to warn folks about. No one in Ohio or Texas responded in any substantive way. And worst of all, no one in the media, even after the Brad blog had put these stunning letters out there, no one in the media picked them up. So it always, as usual, comes back to the failure, frankly, of the corporate media, mainstream media out there.
They have a lousy record on this. And let's take a call. Nancy in Sacramento wants to talk about these machines. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hi, Peter. My hair kind of stood up on end when I was listening to this story, because when the last election occurred and all those referendums passed that Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger wanted to pass, the tribal gaming compact changes,
right.
All of those passed this time, and I am just so curious, because they were not winning at one point. And when the election was over, miraculously, they had all passed.
Hmm.
These passed in those counties where these machines were. I would be very suspect to whether those referendums really should have passed.
That's an interesting question. I voted against them, and then I did see they won, and I never
Everybody I know voted against them, and I don't know why they won. And why did he lose all his last, efforts, and everybody shut down his last ones, and all of a sudden all these passed?
Mm-hmm. All right. Brad, you have a comment?
Well, I must admit that I got so sidetracked with a number of issues after Super Tuesday, including the, at least 12,000 votes that went uncounted here in L.A. County, and trying to it was a number that was more like 100,000, and trying to do what I could to help whittle that down to 12,000. And by the way, folks are still poring over those numbers. It looks as if there may be at least another 12 or 13,000 that did not get counted in addition to that 12,000. So we may be looking at 25, 30,000 votes that were thrown away down here in L.A. So I admit that distracted me from being able to look at some of these other issues. We've got paper ballots across most of California. There are ways, theoretically, to ask for recounts. Any citizen can, in fact, can ask for a recount during a certain period of any single precinct they want to test some of these concerns. But, yeah, that's why you need transparency, and we will always have such questions. And we need to be able to, the citizens need to be able to oversee these elections to answer questions exactly like that.
All right, Nancy, I hope you'll check in and let me know.
I'm going to check it out. Thank you, Peter.
Let me know what you find out. Thank you very much. Now, Brad, what is next? If the DOJ, Justice, has stepped out of this lawsuit, does that mean it's dead, or does that actually free Kennedy and Papantonio to move forward?
Yeah, that's exactly what it does. It actually frees their hands a little bit, allows all of them, if they're successful in this suit, it allows all of them, of course, to make a little bit more money. They don't have to split quite as much with the government. And, in fact, the reason the DOJ is invited to come into these things in the first place is in key TAM suits, that essentially stands for on behalf of the king. So you're actually suing on behalf of the government, in this case on behalf of the United States of America. So the case can now move forward as Papantonio, who is no pushover, by the way, said when this thing was originally filed, he looks forward to sitting across the table from these voting machine companies and taking these guys on head on the way he took on the tobacco industry successfully. Mm-hmm. That said, There are some concerns about some new legal developments that have occurred in the Supreme Court since they filed the case. And I've spoken with the attorneys. I've been very close to the case. I'm actually named in the complaint once or twice, mm-hmm. in a couple of regards. So I've been in close touch with the attorneys. They're taking a look to see if some of these recent Supreme Court decisions may adversely affect a couple of points in moving forward. So they're going to look at that. There is a possibility that it may make it impossible, frankly, for them to move forward. So we will learn that, I think, in the next week or so for certain. All right. If they do move forward, then it's time to bring it on, bring in, get these guys under deposition, get the voting machine company technicians and chiefs and head crooks and liars under oath, and we will see what happens.
All right. We'll keep it on bradblog.com and update you whenever we get more information. More in a moment with Brad. We're going to talk about Sequoia's problems with voting machines and computers in New Jersey. And if you have a question or comment for Brad, bring it on now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's 19 minutes after the hour.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Paul.
And Cynthia.
Of the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden. And we'd like to thank you for supporting this locally owned and operated Carmel business for nearly 40 years.
Nestled in Carmel by the Sea, the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden occupy a beautiful space on Dolores between 5th and 6th, showcasing an array of books on local interests, new releases, bestsellers, novels, children's, metaphysical, and much more. Plus, you'll enjoy taking a good look at our music, healing tools, cards, statuary, fountains, and more.
Proud to be a part of the Carmel business community, we invite you to see us soon.
Pilgrim's Way offers one-on-one intuitive counseling in the bookstore. You may call ahead for an appointment or just walk in. Whether you're a local resident or a visitor to our beautiful peninsula, we have something for everyone.
The Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, between 5th and 6th on Dolores.
Discover an imaginative adventure. Pick up a good read at the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Checking.
13 traffic on KRXA and pretty busy right now. New problem coming in for Soquel, Soquel San Jose Road at Soquel Drive. It looks like the westbound lanes may be blocked by a bunch of mud there. San Benito County, South 101 at Cole Road, a broken down car, the left lane partially blocked. For Aptos, northbound Highway 1 at State Park Drive, a three-car pileup, that's currently blocking the left-hand lane. Southern Monterey County, northbound 1 at Bixby Creek, we have a bumper in the lanes. Northbound 101 after Chular River Road, a solo spin-out off to the side, CHP is on the scene. And heavy traffic leaving Morgan Hill, South 101 Cochran Road, down to about Dunn Avenue. This traffic report is brought to you by the California Public Utilities Commission. Call CalPhone Info at 1-800-818-5009 for free information to help you get smarter about telephone services provided by the California Public Utilities Commission. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Last hour, we were very powerful. We turned off all the lights in Seattle. At the end of this hour, we're going to turn off some lights in Sacramento. A little one that flashes and says, on air. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Brad Friedman with us from bradblog.com. And Dave joins us from Eureka. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Peter, you have such excellent guests and such excellent callers. You provide such a wealth of information, and you do it in a place and time where there's such an effort to keep us ignorant. You must come as a real threat to the wackos. Any station that would deny us that should be boycotted to the end. And, Brad, I got to tell you how much I appreciate you. You're on at a time when I'm out standing in front of a courthouse, and so I rarely get to call you. But you do a wonderful service. The one thing that I can't help but I think if I were in your spot I would go is these machines were designed to cheat, to put criminals in our White House. That in no democracy would ever put them in, nor would they ever think to reelect them. We've got a vice president now saying, so what? Screw the people. Who cares what they think? We own the voting machine. That's the reality we're up against. So it's not just that these machines screw up. They're designed to screw up. Thank you so much for everything, Brad.
All right, Dave, and thank you for your comments and for your activism. And, Brad, do you agree with that? Are these machines at their heart designed to deliver elections?
At their heart, no pun intended there, I guess.
Yes, our heart intercivic.
That's right. As you know, I only report what I can prove and what I can allow you to independently verify. So I will let you guys do that sort of analysis. If I can prove that they were designed to steal elections, I will do so, and I'll be the first one to tell you. But all I can do is tell you what they can and can't do. I certainly can tell you they can be used to steal elections incredibly easily, and even when people aren't trying to steal elections, the machines are just failing to even work on an extraordinary level. One point that I will take note dispute to Dave on is that we don't own these machines. The companies own these machines, at least that's what they claim, and that's exactly what happened in what's happening right now in New Jersey with the Sequoia voting machine company in the state of New Jersey.
Go ahead, tell us about that.
Give you that. Well, as you know, because we've talked about it, I'll give it to you real quick here. The machines failed on election day, holding up even the governor of New Jersey from voting for 45 minutes. They wouldn't turn on. But more disturbingly, after the election, we found out that the totals printed out on the little internal tapes did not match the internal numbers on the machines in at least six different counties. Now, at the time, the county election officials across the state voted unanimously to have these machines independently analyzed by professors at Princeton. The company then sent out emails threatening the professors with legal action should they have the temerity to actually test them. That's by and large where we got to when next the Sequoia voting company's website was hacked.
Right.
And then they announced that they love independent third-party testing, so they're commissioning their own.
and they're asking a fellow by the name, well, they're asking, they've commissioned a company by the name of Quidan Consulting to do this test. Well, nobody has ever heard of Quidan Consulting. The Brad blog has, as usual, been poking our nose where it doesn't belong and finding out who this Quidan Consulting is. Apparently, it's a fellow by the name of Mike Gibbons out of Sugar Land, Texas. We talked a little bit about it last week.
Well, Sugar Land is the home of Tom DeLay.
That's right. Just a coincidence, of course. Please don't notice that, Peter. And, well, we figured out a little bit about who this fella is. He has a MySpace page.
Yes.
And, until last week, on his MySpace page, he was claiming about himself that he's very rebellious. He hates authority figures. He's got a picture of himself and his pickup truck. He claims to have 11 Mopar muscle cars. He says, I don't take crap from anyone. Yes, you too anymore. Why is my hair so long? None of your effing business, a-hole. And then he says, who I'd like to meet? A well-endowed blonde nymphomaniac, half my age, that likes to be under the influence of Jim Beam whiskey in a dimly lit room at least three times a week.
Nice.
it goes on. You get the idea. Now, that MySpace page, however, is in the Internet archives, the cache. We had to find it because as of last weekend when we started poking around looking into this guy, he thought it might be a good idea to quickly change his page. He did. The photo of him and his long hair and his muscle car pickup truck was dumped in favor of a picture of him and George W. Bush. No, I'm sorry, George Bush Sr.
Read all about it at bradblog.com. Thank you, Brad. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Peter.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Sacramento, the balance of our program today is for you. Check in with me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. We're on our way to Radio Nowhere. And the Peter B. Collins Show bounces off the satellite to great radio stations from Monterey to San Francisco to Eureka, Coos Bay, Oregon, Portland, Seattle. Oh, and also, we're not forgetting Montana. But we got word. It started with an email that came in just after the show last night. Mike Malloy announced that he had learned of the format change in Sacramento. And this all actually began a couple of months back in February. I received a legal notice from the radio station that they were considering changing format, and they indicated that the format change, if it happened, would happen on May 7th. But for whatever reason, those plans have changed. They've been advanced, and today is our last broadcast on KSAC in Sacramento. There's a new format that we think will be starting on Monday. And I think it's going to be gospel music, but I really don't know too much about that. This happens in radio. I have been behind a microphone for most of the last 30-plus years, and they've taken my microphone away on many occasions. And I've suffered setbacks, some of which came with a large severance check. Those are the best ones. But these things do happen. And I'm very disappointed for our listeners in Sacramento. This was the second time that the Peter B. Collins Show has been on KSAC. We originally were on late at night, and then last fall when Christine Kraft left the station, this program started in the afternoon position, 3 to 6 p.m. And I want to thank everybody who has listened, and particularly those who have never called in. I know you're there. Some of you have emailed. Some of you have sent me snail mail. And by the way, my postal address is Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. You're always welcome to email me. That's Peter at peterbcollins.com. Again, the P.O. Box is Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. And I'm also grateful to those of you who have called in. A lot of smart people, a lot of well-informed, active people in the Sacramento area. And I can tell that you have been hungry for Progressive Talk Radio and very appreciative of its availability. And I'm sorry it's beyond my control. We worked hard with the Peter B. Challenge to attract new advertisers, and the economics, for whatever reason, didn't work out at this particular place in this particular time. And so we will be moving forward. I want to invite Sacramento listeners. I know it's not as easy to log on to a computer as it is to punch us up on your car radio, but you can find me at peterbcollins.com. You can grab podcasts at any time, day or night. And even if you don't have an iPod, maybe you don't know this, you don't have to have an iPod to listen to a podcast. It's an audio file, an MP3, that you can either download or stream from the Green 960 website in San Francisco, and that's available to you at all times. Also, we just started a new service yesterday, and as time goes on, we will be contributing more material there. But for those of you with PDAs and other broadband telephones, you will be able to capture segments of the Peter B. Collins Show through a website called phoneshow.com, F-O-N-E, phoneshow.com. When you get there, click on Radio Shows, and then it'll be right there. It's currently up pretty close to the top of the Radio Show page, and there's one clip that we posted just yesterday. So we'll be updating those on a regular basis, and if you subscribe at phoneshow.com, they'll actually send you an email every time we put up a new clip. So that's just another way with new technology that you can stay in touch with the PBC show. Let's take some phone calls here from Sacramento, I think primarily. Marjorie, welcome.
Peter B., I'm surely going to miss you. I'm going to miss the information, the education, the entertainment. You know, I miss Enid Goldstein, I miss Christine Kraft, and now this. And can I tell you a little quick funny about my telephone?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, I like Ray Taliaferro, and I've called him for years.
Uh-huh.
Last time I talked to him was February 12th, and since that time, I can't dial any area code with the talk number to get through. It's busy 24 hours a day. My line's busy, and I'm not going to call the telephone company because I don't want any weirdos in my house. And that's the truth. That's a weird thing. Huh. Anyway, I feel like well, we need you. I just feel like we're losing touch with safety, you know.
Well, Marjorie, I really appreciate it. And what you've described makes me feel good because you're validating what we do on a daily basis. And with my producer, Katrina Rill, and Brian Urban, who's our assistant producer, there are just three of us. And we work very hard to bring you good information and voices that you can't hear in the corporate media or that just for whatever reason never make it onto the Fox News channel. And we do our best to give you my honest views and individuals who know more than I do.
I feel your honesty. I do believe that. I feel your sincerity. And by God, I've got to miss you.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, Marjorie. I really appreciate it. Now let's talk with Julie in Sacramento. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Peter B. I'm going to miss you. But before I say my goodbyes, I have a question.
All right.
When Hillary claimed that she was, you know, her experience in the White House, and she's using that, during that time, PNAC was introduced to Bill Clinton, and he rejected it. Hillary should have been aware of it. And when the Iraq war vote came through, how can she not say that she did not have all the information, especially knowing that PNAC was there?
Well, and you and I knew about PNAC. And the PNAC website, I believe it's still up with all of that information about their blueprint for the new American era in the Middle East. And you're right, she should have known about that. And it was available to, you know, a broad spectrum of the American public. And unlike some of the other information, it was not classified, it was not restricted to certain eyes and ears. And so you ask a very good question.
So I was just really upset when, you know, they call it Hillary bashing. I'm not bashing anybody. I just want to know why she did not know. If I knew about PNAC, how come she didn't know and didn't vote no for the Iraq war? And the other question, or the other comment that I was going to make before I start to disintegrate here, and that is I have never heard of anybody that was under fire, like Hillary supposedly was, dodging bullets, to laugh about something like that. I don't think any of the students at Virginia Tech or Columbine, when they were dodging bullets, were laughing about it. And that's what I noticed when she said that she was dodging bullets when she was in Bosnia. And I'm going to miss you.
All right, Julie.
Thank you so much. You have kind of been an anchor. I feel like a balloon. and I'm losing my anchor. Bye, Peter B.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. We'll talk again, I'm sure. Let's go to Joe in Sacramento. Thanks for calling, Joe. You're on the air.
Yeah, Joe. Peter B., I'm sorry. I just wanted to say I am so upset and pissed off that they seem to keep taking all of our information away. You know, it's just irritating. I'm at the end of my rope anymore.
Yeah.
You have one of the best shows on the air, you know, because I've got so much information from, you know, your show and all these people that you have on. It's just mind-boggling.
Well, I appreciate your sentiment, Joe. And the thing I'd like to direct people to look at, and this is why we put out the Peter B. Challenge when we first heard about the problems, the potential change in format in Sacramento. And that is, you know, this is not part of any vast right-wing conspiracy. There's a fundamental business issue here. And you have to understand that operating a radio station incurs expenses, and the model that we use in this country is not a subscription model or a tax model like they do in Britain. It is a free market advertising-based model. And it is fair to say that progressive talk radio, not just in Sacramento, has not attracted enough advertising support to make it sustainable and viable long-term. And if you go to nonstopradio.com, you can see Columbus, Ohio, New Haven, Connecticut, Boston, Atlanta, Houston, San Diego, Fresno. All of these cities had progressive talk radio at some point over the last 3 years, and today they do not. And it's not, in my view, it's not a conspiracy. It's not the right wing in control. It is a fundamental business issue, and we've got to get smart about it. And we have to support the radio stations we have. We have to bring advertisers into the fold and get them to understand that they will benefit by supporting progressive talk radio because people like you will support their businesses.
Well, you know, I even changed my dentist because they advertise on KSAC. You know, I've made a real effort to and let them know that that's one of the reasons I was coming to them. And, you know, it's just so disappointing not to have the information anymore.
Yeah, I hear you. Thank you, Joe.
Okay, thank
you. I appreciate the call. Now to Carolyn in Orangevale. Hello, Carolyn.
Hi, Peter B. I'm 71 years of age. I consider myself intelligent. I've been in politics. I listen to you. And, honey, I'm in love with you.
Oh, baby.
Honestly, you bring, not only do you bring wisdom, intelligence, you bring a gentlemanly discussion and a manner about you that is so, so heartwarming, refreshing. I'm listening to a level-headed, intelligent being dispel the information. And it's incredible. We need you for sanity reasons. And what did you say is replacing you with some gospel music or something?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Oh, good Lord, I'm moving. I've been here for 10.5 years, and I have had the hardest time finding like minds, sophistication, clarity. You have all of that. And, well, I'm ready to riot. 71 or not, I bring a heck of a lot of experience and an Irish attitude.
Well, I love riot girls. So, Carolyn, thank
what
you.
What can we do? Can you post on your website, please tell us what we can do, how we can unite, maybe even if we can somehow connect up with one another.
All right.
And
well,
form a band of warriors here to get you back here. We need you.
You know my website, peterbcollins.com.
Uh-huh.
You can email me, Peter, or himself, or Humble Host, or Full of It. All of those addresses work at peterbcollins.com.
And get
and
us connected somehow.
We have some feelers out to other stations in the Sacramento area.
Uh-huh.
Nothing that is worth talking about yet, but there are some possibilities.
But and, I'm even talking getting your callers connected with one another.
I see.
Let
okay.
us form a union of our own here.
All right. Well, I'll put you in charge of that, Carolyn.
I wouldn't mind it.
If I can facilitate, I'll be happy to do that. Okay?
Well, Godspeed, dear, and we really, seriously, will miss you so much.
All right, Carolyn. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. 888-5 Peter B., if you want to check in. Emails coming in fast and furious here. Jimmy the Geek says, I still firmly believe there's a market here in Sacramento for a well-run progressive talk station that's actively promoted. Know anyone who'd like to spearhead a drive to buy a frequency and put one together? Well, talk to me. Talk to me, Jimmy. You got my email already, so I'm all ears. Let's see what we can do. We're going to take a break and return to more of your phone calls. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Checking traffic on KRXA and pretty busy right now. New problem coming in for Soquel, Soquel-San Jose Road at Soquel Drive. It looks like the westbound lanes may be blocked by a bunch of mud there. San Benito County, South 101 at Cole Road, a broken down car, the left lane partially blocked. For Aptos, northbound Highway 1 at State Park Drive, a three-car pileup, that's currently blocking the left-hand lane. Southern Monterey County, northbound 1 at Bixby Creek, we have a bumper in the lanes. Northbound 101 after Chular River Road, a solo spin-out off to the side, CHP is on the scene. And heavy traffic leaving Morgan Hill, South 101 Cochran Road, down to about Dunn Avenue. This traffic report is brought to you by the California Public Utilities Commission. Call CalPhone Info at 1-800-818-5009 for free information to help you get smarter about telephone services provided by the California Public Utilities Commission. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey and Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Jim Moore Income Tax in Watsonville has been helping Monterey Bay Area residents with personal income tax preparation for more than 20 years. And this year, Manager Juan Gonzalez is prepared to assist all taxpayers take advantage of tax credits and rebates especially targeted for the eco-minded. The staff of Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in fast, professional income tax preparation at a very reasonable price. Do you have a naughty tax problem? Let Juan Gonzalez and his staff provide the expert assistance you need. Jim Moore Income Tax is located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. This year, let Juan Gonzalez show you where the green is for green living taxpayers. Visit Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville. Be sure to take copies of your 2006 tax return and all of your 2007 W-2s and 1099s. Remember Jim Moore Income Tax for all of your tax preparation needs.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and as an unchurched white guy, I really do like a little gospel music now and then.
For those of you that think that gospel music has gone too far, you think we've gotten too radical with our message, well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet, and if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory! Woo! You better put them hands together and act like you know if you're here.
Yes, I do like a little gospel music now and then. Here's an email from Jason in Lincoln, California. Peter B., I'm at a total loss. I wasn't even aware of Progressive Talk Radio till last October. I saw a bumper sticker on a minivan. And since then, I've been a dedicated listener to your show and the rest of the lineup on KSAC. Though I'm college-educated, I only truly consider myself a well-informed citizen after I started listening to these valuable programs, especially yours. I usually listen to your show during my long commutes, but now that's been taken from me. To be sure, every chance I have, I'll stream online, thus continuing my efforts to be a well-informed citizen. Thank you, Jason.
Oh, you better put some hands together and have a Holy Ghost party with me.
We got Nancy in Winters. Hi, Nancy.
Hey, Peter. Yeah, I was just devastated last night when I heard Mike Malloy make that announcement. And,
yeah, that's when the email started flying. I heard about it first last night.
Yeah, and I know I've been in contact with people, and I know that this is a hot topic, and I think that there are going to be people who are going to be trying to do something. So in the meantime, I guess we have to – I am very technologically challenged, so I guess I have to figure out other ways of – listening to Progressive Talk, and I really love your show. I'm not going to repeat everything everybody else has said, but believe me, I firmly agree with everything that's been said. So.
All right, Nancy. Well, thank you, and I've appreciated your calls. You're very sharp, and you've brought our attention to some important events, and I'm going to miss daily contact with you, but we don't give up. We're going to find a way, and as I mentioned, we have some feelers out. And I've also been approached by some people who might be willing to buy a radio station in the Sacramento area. So we'll keep these conversations going, and the best way to stay in touch is by email for now. And, again, the podcasts are available through the link on my website.
Great. Well, Peter, good luck, and I hope that we can make something work.
Okay, Nancy, thank you. Annie in Sacramento, you're next.
Hello, Peter.
Hi, Annie.
I'm really going to miss you.
Well, thank you.
I had just got used to you when we got to talking about a Clinton zipper.
Right.
And I used to listen to Christine, so I had substituted you for her. So I said, well, now Peter don't know. I'm going to be bugging him all the time. And then I heard...
Well, I got a note from Christine saying, what am I going to do? What am I going to listen to on my way to work? Sorry about that, Christine.
Yeah, and, you know, the lady said she was a challenge. I'm not challenging. I just don't work computer well. But I will learn how to work them much better now because I'm going to have to because I got to keep informed. You keep me informed. My friends think I'm getting so brilliant about politics, and I done turn them all on to listening to the station.
Uh-huh.
And now it's going to be off, and I'm like the other people that call. You know, is it anything we can do or what we can do? Let us know. So maybe it's something, you know, in numbers, there's a possibility, you know, they say keep hope alive.
Yeah. So, well, Annie, maybe you don't have email, but if you get a friend to send me an email, what I'm going to do is collect them all. I probably won't be able to respond to everyone because I'll get an avalanche right now, but I'm going to save everyone in a folder, and when we get back on in Sacramento in one way or another, I will make sure that everybody who emails me gets a notice at that time.
Yeah, well, I hope, and I hope you get back on soon and quick because the information you give us, I know they said it's going to be gospel. I like gospel, too, because I was raised on gospel, but I need politics. The problem is now, gospel, and singing is good. But, you know, when you give up your freedom and you be fear and you give up all your rights, I mean, that's not going to work. You got to be informed. You got to know what to do. And people that have information, you get information, you be more aware. My awareness of politics is heightened, and I attribute some of that to you, and I enjoy it now, you know?
Yeah, great. Well, Annie, thank you very much. I'm delighted to know you, and we'll hook up again. I just know it.
Okay, then. Thank you. Thank you for everything.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
And I just want to make one quick clarifying announcement. The only station affected is KSAC. If you're listening anywhere else, everything goes on business as usual on Monday next week. So please don't be alarmed in any other city where you hear the Peter B. Collins Show. It's just happening in Sacramento for now. Dave Dionisi's on the line. Hello again, Dave.
Hey, Peter. I'm so sorry to learn about this change, but at the same time, I want to let you know that the Teach Peace Foundation will work hard to help you either get on another station or if you're going to try to make additional efforts with KSAC. So we just think you're the best.
Well, thank you, Dave. I appreciate that, and I'll be happy to conspire with you.
Well, we are honoring you for your listeners. I may not have another chance, at least in the near term. We are honoring you on September 21st in downtown Sacramento with our Broadcasting Peacemaker Award. And this will be an excellent opportunity for your fans to come together and see you receive this award and rally behind you. But I think before then, there should be plenty of opportunities for us to help you get back on the air somewhere in this area.
All right, great, Dave. And your website is teachpeace.org, is that right?
Teachpeace.com.
.com. Okay.
And if people, if they aren't familiar with us, if they come to the site and provide their information, we will keep them in the loop as we find out about opportunities to help you get back on the air because we're all about peace education And that is what you do day in and day out.
All right, Dave. Thanks, and peace to you.
Thank you so much, Peter.
You bet. Tom in Eureka. This is Tom Seaborn at KGOE. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how you doing, Peter? Not too good, I guess, right now, huh?
Well, you win some, you lose some, and sometimes you just get kicked in the stomach, you know?
Yeah. Jeez, this totally sucks. But for those people in Sacramento, I would imagine that somewhere you got a station in town losing money. And we make money off the station here in Eureka now, and it's growing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's working for our advertisers. Two of our advertisers just got voted the newspaper's People's Choice Awards for the best in what they do,
uh-huh.
and they're just getting a lot of notice just advertising with us,
yeah.
and it can be done, and it's taken us about 5 years since we started going progressive to actually
mm-hmm.
start to turn a buck, so you got to be in it for the long run, I guess.
Yeah. Well, Tom, I always appreciate your support. We got a great audience in Eureka, and we're going to keep on.
Yeah, we will. And so any of those Sacramentos, you guys can't get a station, just move here. We could use a few more listeners.
All right, Tom. Thank you very much. He's a very positive guy. Michelle in Rockland, you get the last word.
Peter.
Michelle.
This is Michelle, and I spoke with you. I actually called the station. I think it was President's Day, and you answered the phone.
Uh-huh.
And I was devastated when you put out the challenge, and I thought, uh-oh, this day's coming near. We're like a seventh-world economy, the capital of a seventh-world economy, and we don't have a progressive station.
Yeah.
I mean, this is... I cried when I heard this. So I called one of my young friends. He's going to get me an iPod, but we got to get you back on the air. You've been fabulous.
Thank you, Michelle. I appreciate the kind words.
Okay.
Sacramento, happy trails.
Happy trails to you.
And I'm not Arnold.
Until.
But I'll be back.
Again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. U.S. airstrikes have been called in, U.S. military advisors are involved, and U.S. ground troops might be needed to help Iraqi forces defeat the Shiite militiamen in Basra. At the Pentagon, CBS News correspondent David Martin reports there are deep doubts about Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki's ability to pull this off on his own.
U.S. officials say, although they had certainly been talking to the Iraqis about the need to do something about the militias in the south of Iraq, they were surprised by the timing of the offensive, and they say that Maliki is acting impulsively and conducting an operation on the fly, and an operation for which the Iraqi army is not yet prepared.
President Bush may have been taken by surprise, but in public he endorses the Baghdad government's move.
This is a defining moment, and it's a moment of, you know, where the government is acting, and it's going to take a while for them to deal with these elements. But they're after it, and that's what's positive.
Not so positive from the American point of view is the prospect of U.S. ground forces being sent to Basra. If that happens, troop withdrawals might be halted to make sure other parts of the country aren't left exposed. Democratic leaders are getting nervous, speaking out publicly now about the sniping between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. And Vermont Senator Patrick Leahy bluntly called for Clinton to quit the race and support Obama. CBS News correspondent Chip Reed has more.
Today on the campaign trail, Hillary Clinton made clear she has no intention of throwing in the towel.
There are some people who are saying, you know, we really ought to end this primary. We just ought to shut it down and...
Today, Barack Obama said this campaign is a bit like a movie that's gone on half an hour too long. Hillary Clinton's response? She said she likes long movies.
People in Philadelphia facing foreclosure on their homes will get relief from an unexpected source, the sheriff. Sheriff John Green has declared a moratorium on foreclosure sales. Ian Phillips of the advocacy group ACORN applauds this move.
We have a proactive city council and a proactive sheriff and city administration that is not going to stand by and see this, what has become a national crisis, tear through Philadelphia's neighborhood.
Over a two-year period, ACORN estimates that more than 45,000 subprime mortgages might be foreclosed in Philadelphia. The group says Cleveland and Baltimore might also halt foreclosure sales.